There are 7 runways at Ord, jackass.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go.
He's down on the phone.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
Dot FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Zotemir in the Netherlands and Los Angeles.
Here.
Porn star Marlon Dahl vowed to go on a 12-hour sex romp.
You slut.
If her home team, Chile, beat Australia in the opening match in the World Cup.
Oh, God.
They did. She did.
Yes.
Next, she promised a 16-hour romp with strangers if Chile beat Spain. Again, they did. She did.
She's short and skinny, but she's strong.
Now she is offering an 18-hour marathon of carnal knowledge if Chile beats Holland on Monday.
Wow, winning.
Isn't it funny that the most scoring associated with soccer is off the field?
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Right now, it is in to be thin in Hollywood. 00 sizes don't cut it anymore.
Boy, are you fat.
So size 000 is the new goal. 000 is a 23-inch waist that's the same size waistband as a 6 to 8-year-old. Great. Now you can wear your Rolex watch around your waist.
I'm not that fat, okay?
I'm Gary Meyer. Thank you for joining me in the future, starting today on the Super G, WGN.FM, Chicago! JR, in for Mr. Skilling.
Good afternoon, Gary.
What's the skinniest you've ever been, Jimmy?
Oh, about 130.
Wow, that's pretty small.
That was.
You're not that much bigger now.
Yeah, about 40 pounds more.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the new goal, to get a 000 waist.
Well, I was fairly young when I was that small.
We all were. I remember I look at pictures of myself in high school, and
now
we were all
you stayed in
sticks.
Great shape. You've stayed in tremendous shape.
But I had this discussion yesterday, and it was about that 660-pound capacity that the morgue in Australia is going to, because they had a 440-pound corpse that they could not accommodate.
What did they do?
What did they do what?
What happened?
They couldn't take this corpse. The funeral brought this corpse in, and the morgue said, we can't accommodate that size, but we're investing in equipment that will eventually accommodate 660-pound people.
What, a backhoe or something?
I think you're going to have a forklift or something like that, but when did we go from, when you look at pictures of us 40 years ago, all very, very skinny, to we've gone the opposite way? But that story is based on the celebrities that are now so skinny. You've seen them.
Yeah.
They look like they're ill.
I've seen a few that look a little emaciated, yeah.
But that's the look, they think.
Look for what?
I don't know. But you can count their rib cage and all that. They think that's hot.
Nah, you remember back in 66 or 67, Twiggy?
Yes.
Do you remember Twiggy?
Right.
Twiggy started something. And prior to that time, women really had curves. And she was sort of the shapeless one. Just, you know, one straight stick figure.
Yeah, that's the name Twiggy.
Yeah, and that became moderately popular. So I don't know who the role models are for this.
Well, they're, I guess, these Hollywood types, and it's one extreme or the other. You've got the 000 size, or then you've got the 600-pound man. And somewhere in the middle, well, it's a lot in the middle is what it is, and that's what we're talking about here.
Well, somebody once told me that the quickest way to gain weight was not to eat anything. And the rationale was you'd be so hungry that you'd gorge yourself every time you sat down.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a good way to go.
No.
I always recommend food poisoning if you want to drop a few pounds in about 24 hours. That's another way if you're looking. I always thought, okay, I feel like dog crap, but tomorrow I'm going to feel so skinny.
Well,
you're not eating and you're evacuating everything. If it's moderate food poisoning, you don't want that where I had to go to the hospital once, food poisoning. That was bad.
Oh, no.
That was bad.
I've had food poisoning a couple of times, but usually it was, you know, some small town cafe that probably didn't wash the counters sufficiently. I never really held it against them. But it was usually quick. It was over in 24 hours.
Yeah, that's the moderate one you want. Drop a few pounds, and then you gradually start eating your regular size meals.
Wonder if there's a cure for that once you get it.
Food poisoning?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the severity. They do. I know when I had it, where I had to go to the hospital, they gave me an injection of something, and it calmed it right down. And if you have excessive vomiting, they can give you some medication, and that usually takes care of it.
Yeah, what's it called? Ipecac or something like
that? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But I thought, wait a minute, if I'm throwing up all the time, how am I going to keep that down? Well, they got that covered. Jimmy, suppository. They got it covered for you. That's why living today is so much better than 100 years ago for so many reasons.
Well, I'm convinced coffee cures everything.
Yeah, you are an Iron Man, and you drink 3 pots a day.
I don't count the pots, really, but there's a lot of coffee in me at
any
given time.
Yeah, and like, but you had that, whatever that was, a few months ago where you were out for a couple weeks.
That was flu. I found out it didn't work with flu.
Doesn't keep the flu away.
No, I didn't.
But everything else, you're good to go.
Well, coffee's a diuretic, and you probably shouldn't drink a diuretic if you've got the flu.
Well, probably not.
No, no.
Well, I see in the paper today that the operation that you work for is expanding their weekend newscasts with a 5 o'clock starting July 12th, and you'll be doing your dog and pony show an extra time on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that ought to be fun.
Well, otherwise, you get there at what time on Saturday?
I get there about 1:30 or 2 o'clock.
And you wouldn't go on till 9?
Well, there's actually some CLTV things that I do during the day. So that this doesn't really, it just will affect some of the times that I participate with that, but I'm here already. The forecast is done by then. I've got most of the graphics prepared. I've gone through the forecast models and looked at whatever scenarios look relevant, and so this shouldn't be a difficult, you know, thing for me. The anchors may have to change their schedules a little, but
why?
I can't say when they come to work. I don't know. I'm just presuming if I did it, I'd probably come in later, but I don't see them usually because when I come into the weather office, we're sort of cloistered in here. We've got to get a lot of stuff done. So I presume they probably come in later, but I can't speak for that.
Well, I don't expect
I usually
to speak
don't see them until, you know, just before air.
Well, so I guess they got their marching orders because they're listed in this article. Jackie Bang, Robert Jordan, Jim Ramsey.
Rich King.
With weather and Rich King with sports.
Yeah.
So it's the same group, and you'll add that extra hour.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, actually.
I love Robert Jordan's presentation.
Oh, yeah, Bob's
there
funny.
There was an apartment fire today in the 6800 block of North Kenwood, and a soccer team. The tone, he makes me feel like everything's okay. It could be the worst news.
You know,
4 people were shot today in the west side of Chicago.
Yeah, he reads very clearly, it's an unusual cadence.
And the
first time that I worked with Bob, I think that probably for the first 3 or 4 years, he'd throw me off. You know, I couldn't, when I'd listen to that, there'd be a tendency to want to talk like that. So I had to fight that tendency because I couldn't do it the way he does it. So but I got used to it, and now it's rather endearing.
3 people are missing and presumed dead in the Calumet Harbor after a boating accident. And then I'll read the next story, which could be a totally different flavor of a story.
Yeah.
And children assembled today to acknowledge whatever it is, and it's just the same tone.
I enjoy working with Bob. He's one of these guys that, over the years, he's got an interesting sense of humor. It's usually pretty corny, and it's very funny. And we have a lot of fun off camera.
I'd like to see that. They should run tape on that, and then that could be a nice little commercial.
Oh, yeah, I think
you
it think probably
these people
could,
are serious? Look at this. And you and Bob going at it with some jokes backstage.
Oh, yeah, and Jackie. Jackie
and
gets into it, yeah.
Jackie Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Jackie.
Yeah, I do, too.
She's good people.
She is. She's a really nice person.
Yes, she is. I've known her for a number of years. And
Rich is a really nice guy as well, so it's a good group.
Jim, it goes without saying. Is there a bad apple over there? And if there is, please share it with us.
Well, I'm not going to tell you if there was, but the truth of the matter is that we have worked together longer than any other anchor team in the city of Chicago. Isn't that an odd
statistic? How long
now? I think Jackie is the newcomer, and she's probably been there 15 or 20 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's like Ron Wood with the Stones. He's the youngest member. He's been with them 30 years, 35 years.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody else in town who any anchor team that's actually done this for as long as we have.
Yeah, that's true.
Isn't
I can't think of anybody.
And I've jokingly told Bob that I've seen him more than any member of my family, because I've seen him every weekend for 28 years.
That's a nice compliment, Jim. I appreciate that.
Well, you know, he's a PhD as well.
In what?
Education.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
And he taught for a while and then went into broadcasting?
No, I don't know why he sought the PhD. I never actually asked him, but he did. I don't remember where he got it, but it one of the major universities here in town.
And his daughter is Karen Jordan on Channel 7.
And she's terrific.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a tall drink of water. She's zoftig, as they say.
I think the last time I saw Karen, she was probably about 14 or 15. She had come in here with Bob. But, I think she's excellent.
All right. I'm going to try to find a person that either you or Tom do not like. Because you are a remarkable man. And I'm happy to hear that you have no enemies.
I think that the deal with us is that, I can't speak for Tom either, but I know in my case, I'm a pretty non-judgmental person. You know, you just sort of accept that everybody's a little different and has different perspectives, and usually I don't really think I've ever met anybody I had a problem with.
Well, the stability of Channel 9 altogether, when you look at the lineup on all their shows,
yeah,
everybody's been there a million years.
This is a very congenial place to work. Most everybody here is very nice.
You know why?
Why?
Free parking.
That's a big part
of it. That is a big part of it. That's why people don't want to leave. Free parking.
Yeah, when I worked in the Loop, I know it was about, 20 bucks a day or
something.
You'd
be paying a lot for parking.
Right.
And that's why when people get over there, oh, free parking. I like it here.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
crazy about it. That is a nice touch, isn't it?
Yeah. They recently redid the parking lot. It was a nice touch.
Got it all redone for you?
Yeah, I got it restriped.
Yes.
Oh,
and that's why you stay.
That's exactly it.
Restriped parking lot. I think the goal at Channel 9, and they're working towards that during the week, is have as much news as possible. They are now starting at, what, 4 a.m.?
Yeah.
And then they're very close to going all the way through 1 o'clock with all news.
I think we run something like 56 hours a week.
And
that sounds
they're
about right.
Looking to increase that. And like I said, they want to make that 4 a.m. all the way till 1 o'clock all news. And what do they have, a couple programs in the way they have to get out of?
I don't know.
As far as their deals?
I don't know what their arrangements are there. But we do run a lot of news, but we've got a lot of resources. So that's adding a newscast here or there is usually not a big deal.
They keep the money. That's the other thing. They don't have to buy other programming.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it works.
I guess. Yeah.
So get ready. More news coming to Channel 9.
More news.
I'd like to get back over there with my commentaries.
Yeah, you used to walk in occasionally anyway.
Yeah,
I haven't seen you in a while.
I like doing that. And when this guy that's there now, when he leaves in a couple weeks, he's going to reapply.
Yeah.
Although, is that what's going to happen?
He
claims it was a budget cutback. I don't know.
Well, I just passed Jeff Hoover in the hall, you know, and he was asking about the show. So I said,
Jeff
Gary's
was the producer of those pieces, and we worked really well together, so we'll see.
I love working with him.
He's a great guy.
He's one of the funniest people
ever. I like him over there, too.
Yeah.
No problem.
There's nobody you hate
either. There really isn't. Your place is a lot more benevolent than other places I've worked. Some places I've worked. You know?
One of the deals here is we've got a staff that's been together for the most part for a long time. I mean, we've got, I look around the weather office here. Most of us have been together for, 10 years or better. And most of the news department is like that, too. There's not a big turnover. So you get to know people really well, and you get to know them personally as well as professionally. They're just nice people. And I like it here. I like it here a lot.
You brought your South Carolina homespun demeanor with you.
I did.
And I incorporated that in today's script.
I saw that. A few factual errors in it, but other than that...
Kind of embellish what... And we'll talk about what you think are wrong, what is wrong
in the script. Well, it's just a couple of things.
All right. After you read it, we'll discuss.
Okay.
Now, let's refresh. Yesterday, you did one, and we'll play that one.
Oh, boy.
Get everybody...
Another great thing about Chicago is we have two big airports. When about 15 minutes away from landing at either O'Hare or Midway, there's a good chance you'll get a glimpse of our great skyline, etched along the Great Lake of Michigan, a big city nestled against a big body of water. You're not going to get that combination too often. When you disembark from the airport and grab a cab to head downtown, you may notice there are only three lanes of traffic to move you along. Okay, that was poor planning on somebody's part, but just play with your smartphone to pass the time away. Hey, be glad you didn't drive, because to park at most hotels downtown will cost close to $60 a night. Drop off your luggage and take a stroll. Be careful. There are a lot of scammers walking around hitting you up for money because their car broke down. Yeah, right. Oh, there's that controversial Trump sign, and you think to yourself, hey, what else would Donnie like to slap his name on? The John Trump Cock Center? The International House of Trump? The Museum of Science and Trump? Arby's Roast Trump? Trumpy Cheese? Geez, DT, overcompensate much? Anywho, make sure you check out the alley where John Dellinger was shot. Now, there's a guy who didn't need to overcompensate. Legend has it that his baby maker is in a jar somewhere because it was too spectacular to bury. Another great thing about visiting Chicago is when you go home, you'll be thankful that the gasoline in your town is so much cheaper in comparison.
Very nice. And we have script one for today. And are you ready to go?
I think so. Yeah.
Right, here we go. This is going to be put down live right now at 321. Jimmy loves Chicago. Here he goes.
Growing up in a small town in South Carolina, I would often wonder what life was like in a big city where the buildings... No, take two.
Let's start it from the top. Jim Ramsey, Love Chicago. Take two, three, two, one.
Growing up in a small town in South Carolina, I would often wonder what life was like in a big city where the buildings as tall as they say, is the traffic as bad as I've heard? Do people murder each other in broad daylight? I wondered and I dreamed about living in a big city, a city like Chicago.
All right, let the record show. Jim has a little throat.
Oh, boy.
We're going to take it from a city like Chicago and start with as a kid. And three, two, one.
As a kid, anytime Chicago was mentioned, someone would always chime in with, hey, that's where Al Capone lived, and it's all gangsters. Well, that sounded scary. I was drawn to the danger in some strange way. It seemed better than what I did all day, like shooting squirrels and reaching down into a hole in the kitchen floor that my grandfather had shot out to try and retrieve a nickel he had thrown into the hole. When my squirrel and rabbit rabbit.
All right, let's take it from there.
All right.
Jim Ramsey from Into the Hole. 3, 2, 1.
When my squirrel and rabbit-killing days ran their course, I packed up and headed west to the middle of the U.S. of A. My first impression of Chicago is forever burned into my brain pan. The tallest structure in my hometown was the grain elevator. So when I first laid eyes on the John Hancock building, I thought I was in Oz. Prior to that, the tallest black thing I had seen was when the Harlem
All right, let's take it from prior to that. Start with prior to that. 3, 2, 1.
Prior to that, the tallest black thing I had seen was when the Harlem Globetrotters came through town and played at the local high school. Another great thing about Chicago is you don't have to learn a lot of different names in politics because the same people stay in office 40 years or more. Now that's stability. Cap off a visit to Chicago by sitting down to a full slab of ribs at Carson's or Twin Anchors. And when your fingers and mouth are all slathered with gree-gree, think about how much better this is than shooting squirrels in the backyard.
Very nice. What's your problem with the script? Oh, we'll fix that. We'll fix that. Watch. It'll be all nice before 7 o'clock.
Well, first of all, my grandfather didn't shoot the hole in the kitchen floor. It was in a sunroom.
Oh, okay.
And a kitchen sounds better. I mean, it kind of gives it that earthy touch to have a shotgun blast in your kitchen. Let's see, what else? There was something else here. We didn't have a grain elevator. It was tobacco-growing country.
Okay. Jim, I have to add stuff. Writer's embellishment.
Okay. And I can't picture the Harlem Globetrotters playing in that little town.
That's what made it funny to me, because I don't picture a lot of things going through your town and the Harlem Globetrotters and the John Hancock. I had to put something together.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, I think we had a circus come through once, but it only had a horse and a donkey. Those were the two animals.
Yeah.
No elephants there. Let's see, what else? There was something else that didn't quite...
No?
Tallest thing in town. What was
Slab
the tallest?
Slab of ribs. You good with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I like ribs, actually.
Yeah. You ever been to Twin Anchors?
No, but I've been to Carson's.
Yeah, Twin Anchors is good, too. That's,
oh, I bet so.
That's legendary.
That's on my bucket list. Let's see. What else? Let me glance this over.
Anything? No.
I never shot rabbits and squirrels, actually.
What did you shoot? You said
snakes.
Snakes.
Mostly, yeah. We had snake issues.
I mean, you're really, I think, splitting hairs.
Probably, yeah. That's probably what I'm doing. I didn't... let's see. It says I said.
All right, Jimmy.
Wait a minute.
The changes you're looking for.
Hold it. Just a few things here.
All right.
It says I wondered and dreamed about living in a big city as a kid. Anytime Chicago was mentioned, Chicago was never mentioned when I was a kid.
Okay, how am I going to construct this if I don't fudge on something? I didn't know you when you were a kid. I just assumed you had dreams, and I know you had dreams, and your father told you to put them away.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we covered that in another script.
He just told me not to ever be disappointed. You know, I'd say, gee, Dad, guess what I did? He said, well, I hope you're not disappointed.
I didn't tell you what I did yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was the kind of encouragement I got. You know.
When you were a kid, what did you think about in that little town?
What did I think about?
Yeah, did you think about getting out of there, or were you comfortable?
I largely thought about girls. That was pretty much the deal, you know. The trouble is that there really wasn't a television station in that little town. The nearest television station was probably 40 miles away, and it carried like two networks, and I don't remember a whole lot about it.
But your goal was to go to a bigger town at some point to do something.
Well, yeah, I figured I wanted to, you know, be able to afford to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the small town, you know, it's minimum wage at some of those little tiny places.
What was your first job in that little town?
Either
in high school or...
Probably mowing lawns in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, that was, I think, every kid's little first job.
And where'd you go to college?
South Carolina.
And that was how far from your house?
Oh, about 2.5 hours.
All right, so you did stay there on campus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then right after college, you started working at the radio station.
No. Well, I actually worked at a radio station in that town while I was in college, and stayed a brief period after I graduated, left and went to a television station in North Carolina, was offered a job in Colorado after about 9 months in North Carolina, took that. Left Colorado, went to South Carolina to take on a job at a state radio news network. I stayed there about 6 weeks because it was the only place I ever started my first day and resigned all before
lunch.
Yeah, before lunch.
Why? What happened?
I was in the interim, actually, from the time I agreed to go to the time I left. Somewhere in there, I was offered a pretty nice job in Richmond, Virginia. So I took that. And I was in Richmond probably a little over a year, and I was offered a job in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of a no-brainer. So that, and then I left.
And that was 25, how many years ago?
Oh, 35. Probably left there, went to Washington, D.C., and then came back to Channel 9. I mean, you know, you travel around in this business. You know that.
I don't. I've been real fortunate. I've never left Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, I went to Des Plaines.
Oh,
I was
did
in
you?
Des Plaines for 3 years.
Did
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spent a little time there, and that was fine.
Well,
it's okay.
Yeah, and what'd you do
I'll learn to live with
what was that?
That was from...
That was Eeyore.
Eeyore?
From Winnie the Pooh.
There are some
do I really sound like Eeyore?
You do.
You're giving me a complex.
Okay.
Eeyore.
Okay.
Set your expectations low. It'll be easier for everything.
No, I had pretty high expectations, you know, that... I think that it's difficult to work in somebody's shadow like Tom's, who is at the absolute top of his field. And so, you know, I have to look way up in the industry, and there's Tom sitting up there.
In an earlier script, I said you two were the Lennon and McCartney of weather. Maybe it's the Lennon and Harrison. Maybe you feel more like George Harrison.
Lennon and Starr.
I don't want to. I'm giving you the Harrison slot right now, but if you feel that's
and
too much,
rapidly, is that what you're
if
saying?
You want to go to the Ringo Starr position, I'll give you that because you sound like you want to dial it down.
How about the doorman? That's probably
yeah, suddenly you're in Jerry and the Pacemakers.
He's Pete Best.
Yeah, no, he's gone from Lennon McCartney to Lennon and Pete Best.
Well, one of the conditions I had when I was offered the job here was that Tom be here. because I had, having already worked in Chicago, knew Tom and liked his work, and said, well, you know, as long as he's still there, I'll come and work here, and never regretted that. I've not only enjoyed working with him, I've learned a lot from him.
Oh, yeah, he's the best.
He is the best.
He's aces.
Oh, yeah.
Well-known around the country, probably the world.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's funny. You know, some of his vacations where we've had severe weather, we've had calls, people wanting information from other broadcast organizations in other countries. One day I heard from Italy and England, Canada, and somebody else.
Because they knew Tom was there.
Yeah, they asked for Tom.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there thinking, wow, no kidding.
Hey, Thomas Skilling, we got a tornado, you got any information?
Isn't that wild? Yeah, that was something.
Well, let's see what he's taught you, Grasshopper. Let's have some weather.
Oh, you want the weather. We actually have had some thunderstorms this afternoon down in Will and Kankakee counties, and they've been drifting up toward southeastern Cook a little earlier. I think those have largely dissipated in Cook, but they're moving over into Indiana. There was a tornado, by the way, near Indianapolis. We got a report of some debris that's in a town called Plainfield, Indiana. By the way, though, we've got a chance of some maybe patchy fog around Chicago tonight with low temperature around 62. Tomorrow up to 78, mostly cloudy. Late storm possible Thursday night into early Friday, high of 80. Friday we'll see some scattered storms and a temperature of 84. Then the heat really builds back in going into the weekend. Saturday up to 90, a storm possible. Sunday, mostly cloudy, isolated showers and a high of 92. Right now it's 86 at O'Hare, 82 Midway, 70 the lakefront. Calm winds and a water temperature of 68 degrees. You like hearing the water temperature, by the way?
I guess some people do. I'm never going in the lake. I don't need to swim with medical waste.
That's not. It's clean. It's clean enough.
Please.
I mean, it's all right. You know, you're not.
Yeah. Okay. You first.
Well, I see lots of people swimming on it. Okay, we got video of them jumping up and down.
Talk to them in 2 days and ask how their ear infection is.
You know, I haven't seen anybody swimming it lately. The only video I see on television of people dragging bodies out of it. But,
exactly. But, my God, are there no boating accidents lately?
Yes, there have been. But it strikes me as a sufficiently clean lake, and I know they check the water periodically, so it's probably okay.
I picture those people going in just waist deep, and you know what they're doing.
What?
Yeah. They're up to their waist.
They're not really doing that.
Yeah, okay. Nah. And then they come right back out. I wonder what they did out there.
Have you ever done that?
No.
How about Baba Bibble? I bet he swims in that lake.
He's doing it right now.
Who needs a lake?
Yeah. He's just sitting there. Ah.
Depends on it. Keeps me through the whole day.
You know, this is the Chicago mindset that if I had known before I came here, I might not have come.
Okay, I'll write a script about that. What would have happened if he knew? When are you back with me, Jimmy?
Back with you, I know I'm back with you next month.
Okay.
Probably in about two and a half weeks, I think.
All right. Always good to work with you.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, have a good week.
Thank you. And is that, I say I don't like when reporters are doing a story and they come back to the anchor anchor thanks them, and I always make fun of that. Aren't they getting paid? Aren't they a hired hand? And there I am.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you,
what would
Gary.
Be the appropriate thing that doesn't sound as if you're just doing this voluntarily? Great to hear from you.
No, that sounds insincere. You're due in here every couple minutes,
so.
You don't want to give her a good job either, because that sounds
good job.
Patronizing.
Yeah.
How about I say nothing?
Get out. Yeah, don't say anything.
Come back in
don't
a few minutes.
Anything.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. And we'll see you in a couple of minutes.
See you in a couple.
Okay, see ya. Here,
what I like about being on the seventh floor, as far as the texts go, at 312-521-8600, because nobody else is in this position that I'm in, and I don't mean...
In many ways.
And I don't mean in the way you might think. I mean where I'm sitting.
Oh, physically
sitting in the studio.
Not metaphysically.
No. There is no one that uses this screen with the text. So the texts from yesterday are still where I left off. And if I didn't get to some, they're right there, which is great. And I see this one. This weekend is the Nudity and Beer Festival in the Poconos. I've never heard of this, and Craig, maybe you can look that up. That's left over from yesterday.
Aren't you going to Pennsylvania? That's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but the Poconos aren't near.
Far.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they still have those
nudity and beer festival?
Bad hotels with the big.
That's a big honeymoon
yeah,
place.
Yeah, they actually literally have the places with the champagne glass beds or tubs and stuff.
I think that's what's the places in the suburbs here.
Oh, Sybaris. Sybaris.
Yeah. Is that where those are? Or do they have the big champagne glass bathtubs there?
I don't know. Sybaris has the pools. Remember, they always
right,
have
the slide
and everything
down in
yeah,
there.
With the Taiwan basket.
Sure. Poconos have the big glasses that you can sit in.
Yeah, like it's a champagne glass tub. In fact, I know someone who went on their honeymoon, and they did have a champagne glass tub.
And
I don't know why they chose that place of all places to go.
What do you do up in there? Does it have a water faucet that goes in there, or do they come and actually pour champagne in?
I don't know if it's famous. Well, if it's a hot tub, it just must bubble. So it must look like a glass of champagne.
Because if they do put champagne in, it reminds me of that story Robert Duvall told when he was on the show, when he and Dennis Hopper first went to Hollywood. They hooked up, I believe, with Natalie Wood, and they decided to have a champagne bath together. So they put the champagne in the tub, and she gets in, and it burned her vajayjay. Yeah, he told that story.
Natalie.
True story, yeah.
She was a little feisty.
We never will know what happened on that boat, will we?
Delicate flower.
With RJ and Christopher Walken, yeah.
They made the movie, Brain something?
Brainstorm.
Yeah,
that was her last movie, and then she went off into that little rowboat in the middle of the night in the ocean.
Still sounds very sketchy.
Well, that's the way it was told.
I don't know if RJ, remember how a couple of years ago that was brought up again?
Yeah, why was it?
I don't know why they brought it up, but that again, he vehemently denied.
What's it gonna do?
Yeah, now you got me.
I tossed her off the side. Okay, put the handcuffs on me.
Yeah, because there were some rumors that maybe she was flirting around with Christopher Walken at that time, because he was a younger guy at that time, and maybe something was going on, and then Wagner,
younger than her husband.
Yeah, and then Wagner got mad, and who knows? You'll never know.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's right there with Flight 370 at this point.
Which we still haven't found.
Still not found it, and there's no talk about it right now.
Nope.
I don't even know where to look, I think.
Yeah, whatever happened? Are they still looking, or are they just stopped?
I'm sure they are, but not in the way they were 2 months ago. After the commercial break, I want to read an email I got from a guy who listens in the Netherlands. And he has pinpointed some of the things we've been talking about, and he wanted to address those. So I will do that right after these words, 312-521-8600. That's the text and the phone number on DOT. Gary Meyer on the 50 million watt Super Cruiser, DOT FM. There he is. It's Bobby.
Then you. $2 million for that line.
$2 million for the lyrics on four pieces of paper, just auctioned. Like Al Capone. He almost put that in the song, his name, Al Capone, to rhyme.
With unknown.
Before I get to the email from the Netherlands, some emails. I'm sorry, let's call them texts at 312-521-8600, although you wouldn't know the difference. I don't know why I had to correct myself, but I did. It's when I make fun of people that go, it's 58 degrees. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry for that. Got Joe's stuff ready and going to try to get to her house on Thursday. That's my friend Brian. He is hooking Joe up with a way to listen to the program.
Wow.
So she will be hooked up by Thursday, and I'll follow up on that. Thank you, Brian, for taking care of her.
Now, that is serving the listener.
Yeah, a listener helping a listener.
That is really.
That's what I love when that happens.
Above and beyond.
Something new this week, if you send a text, you will be given a receipt, so to speak. It'll pop up and say, thank you for your message and for listening to WGN.FM. That was not part of it until just a day or so ago. That happened when I was downstairs. You'd get the reply, hey, you got your text to the right person. We got that now.
That's good.
So that's new. Gary, have your brother check Craigslist for someone selling a space station. That is probably where his space station ended up. At the end of the show last night, my brother called from California. And if you've listened to the show, you may have heard me talk about the fact that he had a mock-up of the space station where he worked. They had a full mock-up. And by mock-up, I don't mean a model you put on a kitchen table or on a shelf. This was a full-size mock-up. You could walk in it. And they were going to throw it away. And he said, would you mind if I took it? And they said, no, but you have to disassemble it and get it out of here, which he did. So he puts it in storage. And that original story is that the storage locker, and this may be where he got into trouble, when he went to the storage locker and the guy said, we charge by weight. And he said, it's the space station, it's weightless. And that's where he got off probably on the wrong foot with this guy. Anyway, I did not know this until yesterday when he called. He said that he goes to the storage locker and the space station is gone. And this is a secured storage locker, his own locker, not, I don't know, some chain link fence where you just put stuff in, everybody puts stuff in. No, it's gone. And the guy had no explanation as to where it was. He went to court and got $10,000 out of the guy.
So basically probably the rent that he paid for the storage
space. I guess.
I
don't know what the worth of a space station is. I would imagine if we as taxpayers are paying for it, it's probably $1 billion at least. It starts at $1 billion.
But they look like they're made out of Reynolds wrap and some,
probably are.
Yeah. You know,
but everything starts
cakes.
At $1 billion. And that's fine. I'm all for space exploration. I like that.
I don't see how it got thrown out, though, because he says he thinks that the guy said it may have gotten thrown out, but how did that...
Why would you go into somebody's storage locker and throw stuff out unless...
Exactly.
They usually give you, what, 2 or 3 months of non-payment, and then they go, we're going in. If you don't pay your bill, we're going
to
open the locker.
Then it goes to auction.
Right.
And, yeah.
That's where that TV show comes from, Storage Wars.
But it doesn't sound like your brother was delinquent.
No.
So why would they go in?
Well, that's why he went to court.
Yeah.
And got the money.
That did seem a little weird, but
and
I'm sure his wife is happy.
Well, she she kept asking him every month when she would pay the bill for the storage locker, why are we paying to store this space station? And, of course, last night, and by of course, I don't know why I say of course. I'm sounding like Jackie Mason today. What?
Of course.
What I say, text or email, what's the difference? He claims that they were almost going to live in it if things got murky. In the economy.
Wow.
And he has been out there for 40 years and is still renting. When I went out there the first time, they were renting a house from a dentist in the what is now the Silicon Valley area. And the dentist wanted to sell the house, a regular size house with 3 bedrooms, whatever, $65,000.
Oh.
Now, this is the late 70s and everything
right.
is relative.
But still.
And he would always go, I got to get the down payment. And I'm thinking, you've been working for 30-some years. Good job. What are you waiting for? And now he's of the other side of the coin of, why have a mortgage?
Right.
Who when I can just keep renting.
Who needs that note every month?
But the rents there have got to be really crazy high, too, where it becomes, I mean, more advantageous even to buy one of those overpriced homes.
You've heard these stories when there's a house up for sale. He shows up, and there are about 500 other people, and
right.
most overbid because it's such a hot area with all the techies out there.
He could have probably rebought that house 4 times.
Think about it.
With all the rent.
$65,000. But again, that's the late 70s. And
that was a lot of money.
Probably a lot of money in that time. And I don't know what his income was at that time.
Well, he could have popped the space station as collateral.
Well, now he's got no collateral, no space station.
What,
he
got 10 grand?
I don't have a space station or a pot to pee in. That's what he's saying. But he goes to all these concerts, like he said, yeah. and he'll call me, yeah, I went to see U2. I didn't have any tickets, but I went and I got tickets. And he doesn't tell me how he gets the tickets, and then he ends up getting extra tickets and sells those and makes money. Starting with no ticket, he makes money on tickets.
Well, he's a survivor.
That's what you have to do in these crazy times.
He's street smart.
Tomorrow, Scott Stantis is back for our little cartoon caption contest, and he's going back to a Cubs theme for tomorrow's cartoon. It's a Cubs player getting ready to swing at a ball. The ball is about, I don't know, 2 feet from him, and the ball has a face on it, and its mouth is open, as if it's screaming at the ball player. You pick it up from there, top three, get a muff until we're out of muffs, and then I'll hopefully have something else to give away, but that's what you do. Send those captions to my Facebook page, The Gary Myers Show. You can see the cartoon on my Facebook page or the Tribune's website. Again, it's a Cubs player getting ready to hit a ball that's got a face on it saying something to the ball player.
You know, when you were talking to Jim Ramsey earlier about Robert Jordan, the anchor on Channel 9 News that works with him, I didn't want to throw Jim, but I've seen Robert Jordan naked.
Excuse me?
Because I worked at a health club in the mid-80s, and he was a member there.
Uh-oh. Isn't there a HIPAA or a DIPAA or a SNIPAA law?
And so he would come in every day, and, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you would hang out in I
worked in the locker room.
Oh, God.
What about the
TROs? Would you ignore all of them?
I was the towel guy, so I worked behind the desk.
Can you see all the puzzle pieces coming together?
So I gave out the towels.
Hey, then, youngster, could I have a towel?
And at that time, you know, I was in college, and so I was looking for an internship.
At a locker room.
Well, in the media. So I said,
hey, I'll give you an extra towel.
So every time he walked in, I would always, you know, kibitz with him, and you know. And
did you do that hand slapping thing that he and Jackie Bang do during commercial breaks?
Somebody texted me about that. That's on
YouTube.
Yeah,
that's their thing.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a very popular YouTube.
Yeah, you
video.
Can see Jackie and Bob doing their thing during a commercial break, and by thing, it's some kind of hand.
They slap
clapping.
Hands.
It's like a whole ritual.
It is. It's a huge ritual that obviously takes the entire commercial break to get through.
But he was a nice guy.
Yeah? And?
Well, I never got an internship, but I actually met another channel, because then he had another guy.
Is he Big Bob Jordan? Is he?
A bigger part? Wow. What is this, the stream?
Yeah, take that to AM 720.
I'm sorry.
They're animals. Let them lose their
savages.
Ratings.
I usually just tried to look from the waist up, because I didn't want to. You know, because he was on TV, so then this will be kind of weird.
Sure.
But every time I see him, I'm like, saw him naked.
Attaboy. And who's the guy that you went to then to get a job?
Yeah, well, so then he had then said that this was, because it was a nice club. It was called the North Shore Club. It was like, in the North Shore area. So
that's why they call it that.
And it was right when the whole craze was beginning, like in the mid-80s, 85 or so. And so this guy that was then working on the Bozo show, Pat Hurley, he started to come in because Bob had said it was a good club. And so then I hooked up with him,
mm-hmm.
and I actually, so then he got a comedy special, the Pat Hurley Video Comedy Hour, and I was one of the writers on that for like one episode that it lasted.
What? Was this on Channel 9?
Oh, yeah, I have a tape of it. Yeah.
Oh, I have to see this.
I was sitting there. It was very cool. I was in the writer's room. We had a big table. Pitching ideas.
Again, this is at Channel 9.
Yeah, right? Channel 9.
The writer's room. Which,
oh, yeah. Well, it was like
cinder block room was that?
It was some conference room. It was just, but there was like all this.
All right, what do you got for me? Jimmy?
Yeah, that's what it was
right,
like.
Here's what I'm thinking. It's about a guy who's mulching all day Saturday.
Right.
He can't figure out how many bags of mulch he needs.
No, well, you know what? One of my skits got on because I worked in the health club, and
because you threatened him by saying I've seen you naked.
I got a shoe camera that's going to tell all.
And so there was a skit about, because I worked in the health club, and I literally saw a woman come into the health club, because remember back in those days they were kind of like becoming pickup places as well, the health clubs. And this one woman literally went in, and remember how the women used to wear the leotards?
The let's get physical kind of outfit?
So she had, but she didn't even have the warmer socks, you know, those socks you used to wear up to the knees. She just had high heels. So she had like the leotard with high heels, and she was on like machines with high heels.
Nice.
So I saw this, and I'm like, this is too good. And so we did a skit on that.
I got something. A woman with high heels
and then we used
on
it.
A treadmill.
Yeah. And I, you know,
I love it.
And the thing is, and that's what she was at. That's what she was on. She was on the stepping machine, and then she was on the treadmill.
Now imagine her hauling mulch.
Yeah.
I only had my
so
mulch.
So this was like a poor man Seinfeld.
Oh God! It wasn't. It was a destitutes man sign.
And you got paid and everything.
Oh yeah! In fact, I still. My mom kept. I got like $700
for how long? Over
years. No, about a week. We were there for a week. You know, because we had to write the.
You
show.
Just did 1 week, and they done?
It was like one special. He had the, because this guy, he like when Frasier left, then this Pat, this is the waning days of Bozo.
I thought they were all waning.
But this guy, Pat Hurley, who had been on a show, I don't know, he was a very nice guy,
But I didn't think he was very funny.
Oh, here we go.
But
I'll tell you what.
But,
if somebody else was doing my material,
but
it would fire up.
But I needed an in here.
I like how the guy handing out towels is now judging a guy who got a TV show.
No, so but he was the circus manager or something, like, on the show now. And so he was on, and he was the host of it, kind of, and he would be around. But he was also on a show that I remembered from the mid-70s. This is how I got in with him. There was a show called Kids Are People, Too. And he used to do his little skits on that. And so when he walked in, I recognized him from being a little kid. I said, hey, you know, you're Pat Hurley from Kids Are People, Too. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
Did you see that show? So then he would come in every day, and I would, like, I'd throw him lines. I would be telling him jokes.
Oh, I wish I had video of
and
that.
And then so then one day he walked in, he goes, you know, you're really quick. And he's like,
what happened, Jim? When did all that go away?
And so he said, you know, I've got this special. Would you like to be one of the writers? I was like, geez, I'd love
it. Oh, yeah, I'm handing out towels. I mean, come on.
And this is the thing that really bugs me, though. I believe that in that room, because this is about 84, 85, and I think he's around my age, he had a lot of guys who were, like, writers and maybe were in Second City and stuff like that. And I think that Robert Smigel from Saturday Night Live and Da Bears and all that, I think he was one of the guys in there. And I'll tell you, if it's the guy I'm thinking of,
mm-hmm.
he was as funny as hell.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my
God.
That's
why he went on.
He came up
and
with
then, where did you go? Well, let me ask you this. So you do a week with Hurley.
Right.
And then where do you go? Back to the
I go right. Well, then club? I got an internship at Channel 2. So that was kind of fun in the newsroom. But I think, and I think.
And you wrote jokes for Walter Jacobson? Because it sounded
like it.
And
Bob Sarat. He was there when I was there.
He was?
Oh, yeah.
Little did you know.
Yeah, he was doing his...
His what?
Wasn't he, like, doing the tech stuff at that time? Remember?
Was he doing that?
Yeah, he was doing, like, the entertainment of the tech stuff.
His resume is the size of a phone book.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track.
Well, I was there right when Bill and Walter got back together again.
Bill and Walter?
Remember when Bill came back from New York?
Yeah.
He went and did about a year or
fantastic.
So.
Fantastic.
And then he came back.
And what's your name, young man? I'm the new comedy writer here.
I've seen most people naked.
Yeah. Would you? Yeah.
Well, I was there for some cool stories. I was there for the whole Bears Super Bowl. And I was there Johnny Morris. Oh, yeah. And I worked in it was cool because I was working in the planning department. So we planned all this. There's breaking news. So that happens as it happens. But then you have to have stories in case it doesn't happen. So then
where you would come in.
So I would come in. And so then I would set up stories.
You'd fluff them up.
Yeah.
You'd find
fluffer.
A story.
I was a news fluffer.
Yeah.
But it was cool because I went on stories with John Drummond.
Were you there when he was on the forecastle of the tramp steamer?
No, I was. No, that was like a couple of years later after that. But I had a story with him, and it's like 7 in the morning, and we went to Manny's, you know, that place?
The deli?
Yeah, and so...
Was Surratt there?
No. He was doing the remote. And so we sit down, and he goes, I want to go to breakfast before we go out to the story. So, you know, we were the camera guys, and we sit down, and he had this huge... And Manny's is like a deli. And he had this huge meal.
It's not like a deli. It is
well,
a deli.
Yeah.
But I mean, he had like a pastrami sandwich. It was like 7 in the morning. And he had a...
All right, maybe it was up for 3 or 4
no,
hours.
No, so I said, whoa, John. I said, you're really eating heaven. He goes, in this business, Jimmy, you never know what you're going to do. I might not eat all day today. This could be my only meal. So you always keep that in mind. If you're ever eating, eat big. And that was his thing.
It's nice that you were monitoring his intake, too.
Oh, yeah. And he, there was, like, that was kind of the very end.
Did you pick out his clothing, too? Because it has kind of your look.
But you were the Bulldog's puppy.
I was. I was the Bulldog's little, well, man, that was my nickname in high school, actually, Bulldog. But,
is
no,
that
but
how you got the job?
Little Bulldog.
Because he's always sniffing around somebody.
Well, you know. But that was kind of just the very end of the glory days then. Because then they sort of fell.
Right. They were the big thing, and then it
all
went
away. And then, like, the mid to late 80s, they sort of went away.
Now they got Kate Sullivan putting her glasses on, taking
them
off.
I don't know what she wants to do.
They don't. Well, she doesn't do anything. They tell her what to do.
Oh, you think that she...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have these consultants come in, take the glasses off, look more like a school teacher, tart up a little bit.
Because she looks really, like...
Oh, yeah, come on.
Matronly now. She came in kind of like all sexy librarian.
Are told what to do. Wear the hoop earrings. It's very attractive when you're doing breaking news.
Giant bubble necklace.
Yeah.
Everybody's got the giant bubble necklace.
Those necklaces, when you're delivering hard news, seem inappropriate. I've mentioned it before, but
even the sportswoman, that Megan McGauley or whatever her name is, McCauley.
Is she all blinged up now?
Oh, but she has these huge necklaces on.
It just seems weird. I know it's a double standard because, well, a guy only wears a suit. There's no other choice. But
it's not like they tell you to wear a string tie. String ties
yeah,
are
exactly.
In.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't look right. It doesn't look right when Steve Baskerville wears the bling.
Well, the big earrings and stuff, yeah. It just seems goofy.
Well, especially at noon.
Yeah. Like they're going nightclubbing right after the noon news. Speaking of news, at 3:58, here's Leslie. That is the top of the hour.
Sound.
It's a freighter from Castaway, and it's got more heft than that little ding that you're used to on the past.
You know it's the top of the hour.
On the past media. I want to do that at 3, too. Let's start that at 3. Just start the whole thing off at 3 o'clock with that.
Even before you sign on.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll be the sign-on. When you hear that, on the air. Here's a text at 312-521-8600. A coworker just sold her house in San Jose for $1.1 million. A 20-something couple, no, just a 20-something, not a couple, from Apple, bought her a three-bedroom, two-story house, put down $900,000 in cash.
Jeez.
That's what's going on there. That whole Silicon Valley is insane. And these houses, I'm sure this house is as average as you can imagine, and these people are glad to get it.
Well, but my daughter was out there looking at rentals, and just a plain, like, one-bedroom apartment is $3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy about it.
No.
It's just the fact that you're near infinite circle there.
So it's like New York, then, in terms of the cost of living.
Yeah, San Francisco is, I think, now more expensive than New York. I think that just came out. Here's one. I'm just going to read some of these cold, see where it goes. Before Mike McConnell got the boot, he changed his podcast to the time equivalent as he had commercials, as if he had commercials. You don't plan on cutting the show hours, right? Okay, I think what he did, and Craig, you were his producer. What did he do?
Yeah, I got to help kick that off with him. The show switched to be 2 hours and 24 minutes, and then there were some commercials thrown in there, but those didn't count for the podcast or for the actual show. So I think our show ran about 2 hours and 40 minutes total, but that 224, that number, came from the content he was doing on AM minus commercials, news reports, everything else. So that was his length of time in a four-hour
right,
show.
Right, that was the distillation of if right. He was on AM 720 and took out all of the foo-foo, what would the actual talk time be? And they came up with that 2 hour
and 24 minute
template.
Very specific, yeah.
And that's what he did every day.
Yeah.
Did he ever have a 4 hour show here, though?
Yeah.
From 9 to 1.
Did he have a 5 hour show at one point?
I think there was a little bit where he was doing 5 hours.
Yeah, I think he touched on, which again boils down to 2 hours and 24 minutes. When you take it all out. I don't have any plans to do that, although I did make a drive-through management. And this was interesting, and this is just between us girls, because I couldn't quite figure this out. I didn't press because it was a kind of a goofy meeting a little bit. Brandmeier does 3 hours. The first hour, I believe, is tape, right?
Or a lot of it is.
I think all of it is. And then it's 6 to 9... that he's live on .fm and the game.
Right.
So I thought, well, let's do as in Rome.
Because you are providing more hours of content.
It is a lot more. So, I don't know, people are going, give me that show and I'll do 6 hours. Right. I understand. Don't start throwing stuff at me here. Anybody would try for it.
Right.
So I thought, I'll do a drive-by on it. Hey, Johnny's doing just 3 hours. No, he's doing 4 hours. I go, the first hour's tape. No, it's 4 hours. And I just dropped it because right. I figured if he wants to hang on to that as far as
right.
his
yeah.
argument, and by he, I mean management, I thought I'm not going to wrestle with it. I'm actually getting into the rhythm of the 4 hours.
Hey, yesterday it was almost a whole hour without even a break.
Yeah, I mean, if things are rolling along,
yeah.
I'm going to keep rolling. If they're not, take a song break or a couple commercials to go make water, but that's about it.
It's the freedom of the future.
Freedom of the future.
Freedom of the future.
They have more freedom in the future.
That's right.
Something like that.
But you do get some points for trying.
Hey, who wouldn't?
Hey, no kidding.
Right? Well, I got really spoiled with that Cubs schedule, and people would always ask me, do you get paid
that was nice.
less when the Cubs are exempting you from your show?
No.
Is exemption the right word? Interfering, interrupting, conflicting. Conflicting, there's exempting.
Exempting.
Same money.
Yeah.
So this is kind of, they're getting their money back.
Yeah.
Now they're really getting it back because this is completely.
Although the thing is about the Cub thing, as much as you had to, you were not on, because of the way baseball is, in terms of the length of games or the rain delays, we would always have to be here. It wasn't like you had a day off.
Well, that's what people would say. It must be nice. Now, when it ended at 5:30 and there was no chance of rain or they were in a dome.
Right, then you could.
Then you're home free at 5:30.
Definitely.
But if they're playing at Wrigley, threat of rain, you're right. Here all day anyway. There were several times, they're going to put the tarp out, so run down to the studio. I don't know why they didn't keep it. Doesn't matter to me. I'm happy to talk.
Right.
But it seemed to me once they took over and started the game, people were there to hear the game. People, if they didn't listen to me and wanted just to hear the Cubs, they were there for the Cubs. So why not just talk baseball? You've got your baseball crowd there.
Yeah, I mean, my gosh, Pat and whoever his partner was over the last 5 years, because he's had several, they live with those players for six months.
Through the rain delay.
You can't talk about baseball. If those guys can't talk about
they
baseball.
They don't. So they would throw it back to the studio, and I'd start dancing again.
For 40 minutes.
40 minutes. Then wait again, see if the rain would pass.
It was kind of like a fireman's schedule, where you had to be there, but you never knew when you're going to be called into action or not.
The only time, if they started at 3, you knew there would be no show, and it was a perfect day. But and that's a nice thing to have, I admit it. Enjoyed every minute of it. But I'll do the 4 hours. I don't have any problem with that.
Hey, this is why you do it, right?
What? Why?
To share with the people.
No, pay the mortgage.
Oh, then it's okay.
Share with the people. No, I'm
paying
the
mortgage. Trying to be a little esoteric.
Here, Bibble, top on or top off back then?
I didn't have it. I need a top. I had my own top.
At the health club?
Yeah, back in the mid-80s, sure. I had a nice full head of hair. I was only in my 20s. I was like 24.
And was Roger Treemstra somehow involved? Was he part of your health club? Hey, you want a towel? I'll give you a towel if you give me a job. Whatever you were extorting over there.
The WGN connection at the health club did not include Roger Treemstra.
And is this health club still there?
I don't know if it's still called the North Shore Club, but it's on, like, Dempster and Waukegan. So if I haven't been in that area for a while, but if there is a health club there, maybe a Bally's, I think, now, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice, and we had, like, you know, brass, they had a bar there, and they had all brass everywhere. It was an upscale place, nice
pool.
Well,
when I hear brass everywhere.
Well, back then, I don't know if brass would go over now, but back in the 80s when everything was kind of a little more glitzy.
A little more brassy.
Yeah, with a lot of nice. And that, but it really became a pickup place. I mean, it, in the evenings.
Yeah, mostly you picking up TV people.
Picking up TV people for an internship.
Cubs would preempt you. That's it. Preempt.
That's what I'm looking for.
Good Lord, the top of the hour sound scared me to death. It should. I want you to know when the top of the hour happens. That's why we live in this country. All these other countries, I don't know the top of the hour from their hole in the grounds.
Scared
and they have a lot of them. It's funny, last night on Jon Stewart, how I've talked about these insurgents that come in and take over these towns and wreck everything. Do they have electricians and plumbers to fix everything? And last night on Jon Stewart, he was talking about how these guys that are taking over all these cities in Iraq, there's one guy, one of the insurgents, is directing traffic now because it's all screwed up. So they tell go down and direct traffic now because the streetlights are out, the stoplights.
One minute he's a revolutionary.
Yeah.
The next minute
he's a traffic guard.
He's a traffic guard.
That's what I mean. They have no real attitude and know-how to make a city run properly. They're just going to take them over.
Right. And then
once they take them over, now what are you going to do?
Now what do you do?
Yeah. You mopes, you know how to run a government or anything?
That's like the great movie with Robert Redford where he's running the candidate.
Yeah.
And he wins. And then he looks at the campaign manager and goes,
now what do I do?
Now what do I do?
Yeah.
I don't know how to govern.
Because he wasn't supposed to win. It was kind of a, I forget the premise of the movie, a plant.
Well, he was just, because the guy that he was running against was there for 40 years. He was so he just said, hey, we just need somebody to run. You're a good looking guy. We need somebody to run against him. And all of a sudden he beats him. He goes, well, now what do I do?
All right. 312-521-8600. Here's that email from the Netherlands. This is from Hans Hu-Willing.
I'm glad his name is Hans, because that's perfect. I mean, at least
hi,
we
Gary.
Know.
My name is Hans, and I'm a podcast listener and a big fan of your show. A few misunderstandings from you guys and Leslie. We have ice cubes in Europe. We don't have free refills in restaurants, so we don't want too much ice in our drinks. Why pay for frozen water? We take every day a shower. This is how it's written.
We take every...
Also, the France people. In some parts of Europe, they don't. Former East Europe countries, for example.
What, shower?
Yeah. Soccer is number one sport in the Netherlands and Europe, South America, Africa, and Asia. We won all three games on this World Cup. Next Sunday, we play against Mexico. In Amsterdam, on the Museum Plein, 150,000 people watch on screens. It's party time and no fights or hooligans. USA team is outsider. The Netherlands and some other countries also send soldiers to Iraq and Afghanistan and many more countries. We always remember what you have done for the Netherlands and Europe in World War II. Your father served in WW2. We really appreciate his and all other young men and women for what they have done to liberate Europe from Hitler. We will never forget and are very grateful. And we love the USA. You're not alone. My best concert ever, Bruce Springsteen, 1988, Rotterdam, the Tunnel of Love Express Tour.
Oh, that's actually a bootlegged one. That's a pretty famous one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You can always send me an email. Keep up the good work. With regards, Hans Hu-Willing, Zoetermeer, please mention my town in your opening, the Netherlands. And I did.
Because you always joke about from Dixmoor to wherever, and
to
now
Portugal.
It's true. Now it's true.
I would on the AM when I started the show, Good Afternoon America, but this is, I'm talking other planets probably. It's going wherever it goes.
I got an email from somebody on my Facebook page from Germany. He's in Germany. Listening to you in Germany.
Oh, this is big. This is, I've kicked off the dust of that small town I used to work in. Yeah, this is the big show.
Yeah, you said to Jim Ramsey, you've never been out of Chicago, but you're all around the planet now.
Talking to the Netherlands here. The health club is LA Fitness now at Dempster and Waukegan.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's a big place. It was really nice. It was called the North Shore Club back in the 80s.
Kate Sullivan's black-haired twin is on NBC on the weekends. Who is that?
I don't know. On NBC? On the weekends? I don't know.
But they're all under the thumb of these consultants that, if you have noticed, they're all now standing by a screen instead of sitting behind the desk for some stories. They all do at least one story where they stand up. Somebody said, you know what people want? They want to see you stand up.
They want to see your legs.
They want to see your legs. They want to see what pants you have. And it's usually, you're right, one of the female reporters or anchors. They want to see what you got on below the waistline, sunshine. So stand up, and now they're all doing this thing right at the top, breaking news or coming up, because somebody did some research and found out if you don't grab them in the first 2 minutes, they're gone. So hit them with something, make anything breaking news that you can make breaking news, even if it isn't.
And it always gets a graphic, too. It's always, breaking news.
And they pay a lot of money for these people to come in and tell them how to comb their hair and what bling to wear and all that other stuff. It's kind of sad that if you don't know what to do, that you are in a major city doing news.
But the sad part is that then with all those consultants come in, all the news look and sound the same. So then what's the, they're almost interchangeable.
What channel has their whole deal to be, we are original reporting?
That's Channel 5, Channel 2.
That's Channel 2?
Yeah, that's
We're original.
Yeah.
Meaning they make the news up? We have news that we've made up.
Right.
It's original.
You're not going to see this anywhere else.
And they're all going for this Chicago's news source. Yeah. Okay, you're all in Chicago. What makes you any different?
Yeah, Channel 5 is something about like that. Chicago's something. And
yeah,
of course, Channel 9 is Chicago's very own.
But they're all going for this. We're your hometown news team. We're there before anybody else, but it all goes on at the same time. So what's the difference?
And it's, you know, it's so funny. They all do the same thing. You know, why is it always news, weather, sports?
Because that's the way it's been for 40-some years. I mean, have not changed any of that. But somebody told them, you know, if you do the same thing in the same time, at least stand up and do it. Because people love to see people stand up. That's really what they're telling them. And just do that whole shock and awe at the beginning.
What I think is funny, if you watch Channel 2, they actually have their, you could see their feet. The people on the ends, like when a Kleist and like an Ryan and a Baker,
Curran.
Yeah, Ed Curran. I mean, they're stand. You know, the two main anchors sit in the middle, but then on the side they've got these little desks, and so you could. You know, and so it's weird.
So they're standing, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times you could see that, like I said, the Megan, who does the sports, she's kind of pigeon-toed.
The Megan.
She's kind of pigeon-toed.
Oh, great.
So often
you can see that much?
Yeah.
Well, that's what they want you to see.
And Dan Rohn does
they
that.
They should promote
channel.
That. We have the most pigeon-toed reporters. Throw that in.
And
I want to see something different. But they're fighting against something that they're not going to win because you know you can get the news from your phone as it's happening. There's no need to wait.
And they tell you to go to their website.
Well, that's they all do, all those TV shows.
That.
As you're watching the show, go to our website. Well, what do you want me to do? Go to the website, watch the show? What do you want me to do? Tell me.
But, I mean, it's amazing. Why can't sports be before weather?
That's the way they've always done it.
What?
I don't know. Well, they got to do all the news in the first 8 minutes. And then it's all of 22 minutes. That's all they have in a half hour.
It almost seems like they all break at the same time.
They do. Because they know if you're drifting, you're going to hear or see another commercial there, so why bother? That's why they all do it at the same time.
Yeah, it's just like, wow, you can't even go somewhere else.
It's funny how you, if you pay attention to this stuff, and maybe you don't, but I kind of do.
Yeah.
Letterman is now bringing the guest out about 10 minutes earlier than he used to, and I'm thinking, now you're going to fight the fight?
Yeah, no.
Now that you've announced your retirement? Before, the guest would come out at 11 o'clock.
Right.
Now, at 10 to 11, there's the guest. At least it was the other night, and I don't watch it every night, but I think he's thinking, I got to go for it at the end. I got a year to go or less. I'm going to go for it. Why didn't you do that? I always wondered why they all did the guest out at 11 o'clock.
That's the same thing. They do the monologue. They do a desk piece. They do a guest. They do a musical guest. It's like the
nothing
same.
Nothing changes. Top 10 list at this time. And I guess they think that people want that routine. And I know people like routine, but it just doesn't seem to change for years and years and years.
And it seems as if, though, the people do, because whenever a talk show is tried, the only one who didn't have a desk who was successful was Arsenio Hall. You know, he had the round. He sat in the round.
Yeah, and you see how long that lasted.
No,
the
but I mean
second time around.
The first run, yeah. Poor guy. They told him he was renewed. And then 3 months later, they said, by the way.
Well, Jay Leno came out and told him he was renewed. I guess that's not the guy you want to do it. Lewis, 312-521-8600, on the blower.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Hey, Lewis.
So I'm the guy that drives from Milwaukee to South Elgin every day.
Okay.
And, you know, I heard you talking about what the news people, the news anchors wear.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity, but if you flip it on the Spanish channel.
No, I haven't.
They're basically stripping on their news. And
Telemundo.
The news are, you know, sometimes it's something you heard 2 days ago, but you don't tune in for that.
You don't care.
Tune in to see what they're wearing.
Do all the female anchors look like Sofia Vergara?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And just bigger in the bust area, which is not a bad thing.
So they're going for everything. They got the cleavage and everything.
They got the cleavage, the short skirts, the midriffs at times. They got everything showing.
Well, their TV shows in general are very hot, and that's their sitcoms and everything. They're all very much almost X-rated.
They went to the sex appeal, and I'm bilingual, and I tell my wife, I'm just watching the weather, honey.
Yeah.
As well.
That's right. I gotta see the weather.
Look at those mountains. They got some thunderstorms coming in. But there's, it should check that out sometime.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you.
They have bra breaking news.
Pretty much. They should start on the breast and pull back if they need to hook everybody, at least the men. They're really going in that direction. But I don't know. I just don't understand the bling. And it's getting crazier.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've seen some of those giant hoop earrings.
Yeah.
They're like almost
right. A dog could jump through them during the report.
I think they're gonna do the magic trick where you connect them and then they get unconnected at the same time.
Right. A magic trick is going to happen while you're watching the news. 312-521-8600. This is .fm.
Freeform life.
Freeform. Freeform.
WGN.FM, Chicago.
time to give a shout out to Lucky Day Lotto winner Raymond I from Stickney. He won $133,333 playing the Illinois Lottery's Lucky Day Lotto game. He purchased his winning ticket from the Citgo at 4901 South Central Avenue in Stickney. Raymond was at Citgo buying a newspaper when he decided to buy a lottery game, too. He put down $2 on a quick pick Lucky Day Lottery ticket. The next day, when he realized he won, he told his wife, and she didn't believe he won until she saw a copy of the claim form. Raymond plans to use his newly acquired cash to buy a car and remodel his home. Congrats, Raymond. Remember, when you play the Illinois Lottery, 30 cents of every dollar you spend will benefit our state. Over the years, the lottery has contributed over $18 billion to the State Common School Fund to assist K-12 public schools, as well as the Capital Projects Fund to build roads and bridges. Play responsibly. Don't scratch and drive. You must be 18 or older to play. Leslie is here. I got this text at 312-521-8600. Is it normal to have buffering happen when you're listening on the WGN app? That buffering situation is just part of this right now. I don't know if it's fixable or what you can do. I think everybody's deal is different as far as how you listen.
Isn't it have to do with their own internet connection?
The speed of your internet connection, yeah, probably.
And didn't Ken Rakowski have a quick fix for that?
He said to, well, you can pause.
He said to pause or to actually close the application entirely and reopen it. And then when you reopen it, it should pick up where it currently is and not your phone trying to play catch up with all the stuff it's missed.
All right, try that. And you mentioned George Lucas and his little museum story. So San Francisco's still playing hardball with him.
Yeah. And so they're saying now that it looks like Chicago's going to be the place. They're also going to change the name of the museum from Lucas Cultural Arts Museum to the Lucas Museum of Narrative Arts.
If we do have a chance in hell of getting this, I'm going to suggest the vacant space in the Tribune Tower right on Michigan Avenue. Wouldn't you love to walk
by
and see C-3PO and Chewbacca and Jar Jar?
Yeah,
and it was already laid out as a museum. It was the
Freedom Museum. Yeah, you go in there and put your hole in Lincoln's head in a picture.
You could see the lyrics to Louie Louie.
You could flip a coin in his hat or something. That lasted. I saw that going in, and I could have told them, why are you doing this? It's not going to fly. And they were charging admission, and then when that didn't work, they let people in for free. And I think 20 mil went on books for that.
Then they had a Target pop-up store. Remember that?
Well, they do pop-up stores when everybody and anybody wants them for the interim until they find a permanent tenant. But that Freedom Museum...
We should have a fireworks store in... Oh, wait.
Here's what you got to ask yourself, is what you're presenting available on the internet, because some of these museums are now doing stuff and offering stuff that you can see on the internet. And it's got to be a tough putt when you could just hit a button and see whatever the archives are that they have. And that's kind of what that was.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, with this George Lucas Museum, I'm worried that when you get up close to some of those Hollywood props and costumes, they don't look nearly as cool as they do in the film.
It's going to look like Garfield Goose when you saw him up close. He was just a towel.
It's a dirty sock.
Well, a lot of
Jar
things are like that.
Jar Binks is a dirtier sock now.
Probably. But if they do have a chance, meaning Chicago, to get this Tribune Tower, I want to see all that stuff in the window. I've offered this suggestion. I think this one has legs. Tom Skilling in the Weather Center, Channel 9's Weather Center, in the Tribune Tower, the building they own, it's all part of the same company, on Michigan Avenue. You walk by, there's Tom working on the weather. All these other stations that have done this, well, Channel 5 did it poorly. They don't have it anymore. It was a bad location. Channel 7.
Well, it was offset.
Yeah.
Channel 5. It wasn't on Michigan Avenue.
The way it was built, it didn't lend itself to having people come by and wave or whatever they do at Channel 7.
This is
prime
real
estate. And considering all the news that we've had of late, maybe they could put just the word Skilling outside of it in three-story tall letters. How about it?
I like that.
Okay, just thinking.
But they have had no takers for that space. It's been several years now. I don't know how much they're asking for rent, but you've got your own product that's as popular as you can get, put him in that section of the building, and WGN Weather Center on Michigan Avenue.
And considering, and you've seen it in person, and even what you can see on television, Tom's workspace is ridiculous. It has no window.
It has no windows.
And it's like a closet.
It is really funky.
So,
I don't know. But
after 30 years, doesn't the guy deserve...
I brought this up to several people that have power to do this here. And at first, I think they're really thinking, wow, how can we take that idea and make it ours? That's their first impression. Because there are other ideas that I've presented, and they just took them and said, yeah, that's our idea.
You mean the G?
The G. Yeah, the G.
Don't use that. We might use that.
It's an odd space. I don't know how much you have to do to get it into a retail atmosphere, because the windows aren't real big.
No. It would be perfect.
And, you know,
for
a retailer
Tom.
Wants the big windows and a lot of space. This thing is kind of goofy in how
and
it's
you can't change it,
laid
this
out.
This is a landmark building.
Right. So you got to go with what they got. And even if they put Tom in half of it, I think he can maneuver in half of it.
And you can bet that if he did, because what is he on, from 5 o'clock? He's on the 5 o'clock news, correct?
Yeah.
Right. So you can bet that every time that he did a news, you know, his weather forecast, there would be a crowd of people in front of that window.
No, I can't guarantee anything. I cannot guarantee it, but
you know
certainly a lot better than what's in there now, which is just nothing.
So you're not talking about just bringing the whole news, just Tom, right?
Just the Weather Center at this point.
So
although I have presented that too.
Right.
Sell all that land where Channel 9 is. It's very valuable right now. And just move the whole TV station into a section here at the Tribune Tower.
I mean, they are literally surrounded at this point by condos.
Yeah.
They're encased by condominiums.
They knocked down that cleaning laundry factory that was right there.
Yeah.
And they
behind
have these
it,
townhouses that
yeah.
are going for $1 million
yeah.
right there. And they got a good chunk of land.
Oh, my God. It's prime. It's right on Western and Addison. My gosh, that's the heart of Wrigleyville. Lane Tech right there.
iHeartRadio is better. Less buffering. Try that. Maybe that'll work for you better. And this text, I can't confirm, says Rahm is confirming the museum is a done deal. Press conference is tomorrow morning.
Wow.
What did she say?
She said that the scale has tipped in Chicago's favor and that the museum board is supposed to make an announcement tomorrow.
Oh, I'm going to have to eat crow tomorrow.
No kidding.
I got to have a crow sandwich for lunch.
Well, you know, that would be a huge coup then.
And then I get this stuff. Gary, stop. We are not getting that dumbass museum. We have bigger issues than museums like shootings. Well, I think if these gang members could come down and see a Chewbacca.
A Han Solo.
A Han Solo.
A Yoda,
they would lay
Yoda.
Down their weapons. Maybe that's what they're looking for.
Just give them all lightsabers.
Yeah, and have them fight right in front of the museum every day.
That story is breaking a lot of places that we
seriously?
Did get at the museum, yeah.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
What is he thinking?
Well, I think he's just... Well, he's married to a woman who lives
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a connection to why it's here. But, wow, that
okay.
seems so far-fetched.
I'm going to eat crow. I apologize. But here's...
You're going to eat Wookiee.
I'm going to eat Major Wookiee. I got my dingle in a Jar Jar Binks right now.
You stop with Jar Jar Binks? He's the most unpopular character.
I stopped after the second episode. I don't know who's popular or
throw
whatever.
Throw in a Darth Maul or something.
That's where I shop. Here's what Ricketts should have done. You see what happened here? When you have another suitor, you get things done. When they're clamoring for you, you get whatever you... I guess that doesn't work because he wanted to be in San Francisco.
Well, maybe, you know, we were a little cynical. Maybe he legitimately wanted a good deal one way or the other, and he wasn't getting it from them. I mean, it smacked of using Chicago as
a tool.
As just a leverage point. But maybe at the end of the day, they didn't want to give him what he wanted.
All right, before I entirely ingest the crow, if I pay one dime in taxpayer money for this, I'm going to go crazy.
Because this is his folly. This is
exactly.
Just
and
George.
This guy's worth several billion dollars. I don't want to hear anything about, and it's going to be, if that site is the site, by the Shedd Aquarium.
Yeah. The campus.
I don't want to see any taxpayer money used on this.
Yeah, I mean, he sold Lucasfilms for $4 billion. And that doesn't even count all the money he's made in the past from those movies. So, Yeah, he should be able to put that up without...
And I say that because you hear of all these tax incentives they give people to bring their businesses here. If we keep giving stuff away, we're never going to get out of debt. All these buildings going up, we don't really realize any tax money from it. What are we doing?
I can't believe that San Francisco has dropped... If this is true, how could San Francisco have dropped the ball this bad?
Here. Star Wars creator George Lucas has selected Chicago over L.A. and San Francisco as the future home of his Wookiee Museum.
His Wookiee Museum.
Of his Wookiee of museumness. Hey, Jill.
Gary, my darling, you're reading my mind. I was just going to say, if we pay one red cent towards this project, I'm going to lose my flipping mind.
I know. I'm so freaking tired of being soaked so everybody else could come in. All these billionaires come in, set up shop. I'm sitting here with no pot to pee in.
Well, you know what? And why would you put the museum here? Because, you know, if it's going to be south of Ohio Street, I mean, well, they'll just steal the blasters out of there, the gangsters. We won't be able to stop these thugs. Well, these tsunamis, they're going to run us over.
Are they stealing fish out of the Shedd Aquarium? I don't think so. Right? So, are they stealing dinosaur bones out of the field? No.
Well, they're going to because you gave them the idea.
Yeah. You see some guy walking out with C-3PO under his arm.
he's gonna have his 7-inch Lincoln and his 20-foot brontosaurus bone or whatever.
Wow, that's a nice combo. Yes, I got my 7-inch Lincoln and a big brontosaurus bone.
I was just saying, if we have to pay anything towards this museum, I just
can't really. I watched, as you did, all these buildings go up in the last 25 years, and we're more in debt than ever. Usually, when there's more buildings, it shares the tax base.
Right.
We're more in debt. They should stop building. It's screwing us over.
You got it, Gare.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They should have taxed every letter that Trump put up. $1 million a letter. That's a letter tax we have here.
Wow, this is shocking news. I can't believe that.
You are shocked.
Aren't you?
And that will be at the start of all newscasts tonight. Shocking news.
Shocking news report.
Right.
But
what are some of the other characters?
Oh, my God. Well, like I said, you got Yoda. You've got
Yoda
Han
coming
Solo,
to Chicago.
Princess Leia. Luke Skywalker.
Chicago's getting Leia.
Boba Fett.
Chicago's getting Boba Fett. News at 10.
Oh, because you know they're all going to work that into the headline.
Oh, yeah. I can see it all now.
Let's see. I think then you get from the later ones, you've got the Emperor Palpatine.
See, here's, again, now I'm going to spit out the crow for just a second. Ron must have given him something for him to go, I'm done with San Francisco. I'm not going to even look at L.A. I want to see the books on this.
He's born and raised there? I mean,
I want to see what we gave him.
Oh. Jabba the Hutt will be a good one. That's a good character.
They could do Jabba the Sunglass Hutt. Maybe tie in, get a sponsor.
Oh, man.
I just do. I'm sorry that I'm so skeptical and cynical, but I feel like I'm getting screwed right now because this thing went down pretty quickly after the San
this
Francisco
went down,
rejection.
I mean, this has only been about, 2 months?
And you know, when that happens, something got exchanged under the table.
Wow.
And usually we're on the sucking end of it.
Well, it's a big coup for Chicago because, you know, don't forget, the new Star Wars movie comes out next Christmas. So there's going to be...
You mean a year from now?
Yeah, next... Yeah,
16.
2015. 15. So, you know, there's going to be a huge resurgence in Star Wars. Now, can they get it built? I hope they get it built by then.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. But, yeah, because how long have they been rebuilding some of our expressways? I got to get that up. Don't worry.
But is that the best place?
I don't know. I like going over there and smelting in the spring.
Smelting.
But that's about it. I don't make a lot of trips back there.
No, I mean, I've never been there.
But if I ever had a body to dump, that's my first choice. Drive back there at about 11 o'clock, toss it right in the lake.
There's a lot of holes back there.
It's kind of quiet and dark. My first place.
Have you been to the actual campus since it's been a campus?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've never been in that. So it's all connected? You can walk? And
well, you drive back in there and find a parking meter for $14 a minute and stroll around the campus.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, that's pretty cool.
Well, you want me to eat more crow now?
No, I'm just saying.
I will not. Okay.
I felt the same way you
I'm
did.
I'm not going to eat any crow until I see how much we gave this guy.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. There cannot be any public money put into this.
This text says that San Francisco will now turn its focus to a Battlestar Galactica museum. Touche.
Boy, they're gonna get a lot of heat for blowing that. They're politicians there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe San Francisco didn't want to give away what he wanted them to give away. And if we're doing that, we got some complaining to do here. And this text, you're on to something. How about the Chicago Shooting Museum, paintball for the kids? A gang designer wear pop-up, the Stunad dunk tank. Yeah, that's from Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. We got to get these gangs into something that makes sense, because this goes nowhere. It ruins neighborhoods, bad for the city's image, and they have some kind of energy that they, if they could put it into something positive, they'd live past the age of 27, make some money, and maybe stop this cycle. And the first thing is the house of you can't be pregnant while you're 15. The international house of don't get pregnant when you're 15.
That seems to be a lot of the core of the problem.
Yeah. And I just heard a story. If you are a teen mother, say 15, 16, teen, whatever, the chances of that child being a teen mother, I think it's 90%. So that's why that cycle just continues. And these kids get dumped back into an unstructured situation. So the gang becomes their structure. On and on. So, again, stop with the candles and the teddy bears and the poster board and the balloons. Been doing that for decades. It's not working. Except making candle makers and teddy bear sellers rich. It just seems so silly.
There was a story about that a couple of weeks ago in the paper, and people were saying, the point was brought up, is that, well, how long can you keep doing this? But the people that do it, say it's a way of...
A way of what?
Of not only memorializing their own, but then letting people see how many of these are and that there's a problem.
Yeah, but it's been going on for decades. Yeah. Problem's worse than ever.
I know.
Doesn't do any good. It just makes people, I guess, feel good for a little while.
Yeah, put a Band-Aid on it, yeah.
And definitely. That's supposed to do something. And then they have a march down the street, and sometimes the mayor joins in, and then the next night, I think they had how many killings over the weekend? Six? I think six people were shot over the weekend and killed.
It's usually a take back our neighborhood or take back the streets.
Exactly. And then the next weekend, killings again. 3-1-2. What's that?
Six dead, 21 wounded.
Jeez.
Over the past weekend.
21 wounded.
There's not that much carnage in Afghanistan, I believe, right now. 312.
Not on a weekly basis.
521-8600. That's the text number and the phone number. I just feel bad about this deal. It just went down too quickly. We were not consulted, unless he's not spending a dime of our money. But I just don't have that feeling. And by the way,
the force is not with you?
Alderman Burke wants you to respect his privacy. I'm glad he said that, because I was going to call the hospital Friday. Hey, how's he doing? How's he doing?
Don't worry. I don't want to check his prostate.
Yeah. Guy's been the alderman for 45 years, and he's got that flying wedge of security. He's got bodyguards. He's an alderman.
And I think either he took his father's seat, or certainly his father did something. So there's been Burke rule for 40, how many years?
Yeah, well, 45, whatever the father
yeah,
did.
Yeah, exactly.
That is crazy. And then you got Madigan. He's logged, what, 40?
And now his daughter is the...
We're screwed. We are so screwed.
He's going to make her.
We got 10 people running the whole show and doing whatever they want.
And you know he's going to get her in the governor's mansion one of these times before he leaves.
Hey, I think a little tune would be nice here. Mr. Dillon, what do you got for me on .fm? Stone me. Gary Meyer, 450 on the future, and 312-521-8600 is the text number and the phone number. this text number, well, was used by someone who said, the news is wrong. I heard the museum is going to Rio de Janeiro. The George Lucas Museum is coming to Chicago. I guess it's a done deal.
Wow.
And I think if you feel the way I do, somehow we're getting screwed because this happened way too fast. San Francisco was back in play.
Right.
And that's what we heard. And all of a sudden, Los Angeles was in, and then Chicago got it. I just don't think that's going to help us out.
Yeah.
We're going to be paying for that.
They have. I'm sure they have to try to get this thing built quickly, though. They had to make a decision because you do want to have that thing open when the new Star Wars movie comes out. So.
Oh, the tailgaters are going to be so upset, though.
That's
because
their
it's
spot, right?
To be, yeah. Oh. A lot adjacent to Soldier Field. Wah, wah.
A lot of Star Troopers there instead of tailgaters.
This text says that they're probably going to make Cheryl Scott dress as Chewbacca to do the weather in honor of this story.
Well, she'll be Leia. She'll have the big cones, the cones hair.
Right, the cinnamon bun hair. And
that bikini that she wore with Jabba the Hutt.
I hesitate to ask what Allison Rosati will be dressed as because Bibble will attack.
It's going to be something.
Until she gets looser clothing.
It's going to be something unappropriately tight.
Mean to her you are.
Oh, yes. Oh, this will be great. Now I could pull my Yoda out on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Now that he lives here.
You used to do that at the health club, didn't you? When you try to get a job with Channel 9. I think it's inappropriate, by the way.
What?
You said unappropriate.
Yanking out his Yoda?
Yeah. Whatever. Urgh. It's just wrong.
Yank I must.
And then some people that are banned from WGN's.
What?
What are they banned from?
Banned.
Where are they banned from, Craig? Now they're banning people from posting anything if it's too...
Yeah, you're asking about the text we got just a second ago. Someone is saying they were banned from the WGN Facebook page from texting on that page.
They were only getting kind of the blowback text, and I think they just didn't want to see it anymore. No, I appreciate your effort.
Well, it's good that a media company is censoring.
Well, you got to protect the kids that are looking at that stuff.
Oh, sure.
Leslie, what's going on in the world? Anything?
Only one thing, Gary, and that's the Star Wars Museum. Everybody's talking about it. It's very exciting news because now more and more sources are stepping up, including someone at City Hall who said, yes, it's going to happen. We've beat out San Francisco, and we are going to be home to this internationally acclaimed museum, or what will be an international.
In a city far, far away.
From reality, yeah, that's for sure.
They're saying it's likely to generate between $2 billion and $2.5 billion of additional tourist spending and significant tax revenue.
Okay, they always say that. The city is more in debt than ever, and they've been saying that for decades.
And they'll adjust things downward from there. So that is the story. Chicago's going to be home to the new Star Wars Star Wars Museum.
What about the Obama Museum now? Where's that going?
Maybe you can talk him into moving into the Freedom Museum spot.
How about one of the McCormick places? I don't think we use all of them like we should. They built all these buildings, not thinking, why don't we just get one building big enough for all these conventions, and then if we have to section stuff off, we can do that. We've got, what, four of these buildings that all need heat and are used how many times a year? How about we give them one of those?
Give him the old airy crown?
And by give him, I mean for a price.
Does he have cash? I think he's got some money. That might be why everybody's so happy.
When you just said what kind of tourism dollars is going to bring in, that tells me that they had to give him something because he said, hey, this is going to be a big tourist attraction. So what can you give me?
There will be some tax increment financing going on.
A lot of that is out there.
I just hope that this doesn't become like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where it gets here and then people are sad that it's there. Remember? I mean, now it's like it's in Cleveland, and they never even hold the induction ceremony at the place. It's always in New York or California. They don't even want to, like, admit that they put it in Cleveland, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I would imagine we're a little better than Cleveland.
I understand that, but, you know, when you go to, you know, in California, that's where movies are made. You know what? We don't.
That's why it's very special here.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't fit here.
Hey, you got the shed, field.
That's what I mean.
Planetarium.
And now Lucas.
Lucas Warehouse.
They're going to finally build the nature preserve there at Northerly Island. So, this is going to change Chicago entirely.
Good. We need the rain. I don't think 15 inches in 3 days is enough.
At least we didn't get, a tornado struck Indianapolis this afternoon, so we didn't get that kind of rain, though.
Oh. Yeah, my hydrangeas are huge this year.
Everything's growing an inch an hour. You have to trim every 16 hours, they say, to keep ahead of it.
My hostas are out of control.
Oh, jeez. What am I going to do? This text, Millennium Falcon at Millennium Park and the Death Star at the Planetarium. You want to spread out some of the Lucas junk.
Well, this is going to be huge because you are going to get every geek in the world to come here. This is a this
Where
is
big, all this stuff now?
It's a big warehouse.
His closet? Where does he keep all this stuff?
The Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse.
At the very end.
He's got to be storing this somewhere now. And doesn't he have a campus that he works out of already?
He had the Skywalker Ranch.
Yeah, why doesn't he just plop it there?
I don't know.
Because he lives here. He's got a condo on Michigan Avenue now. So
yeah, his wife. I mean, he does.
As
he
a
is
neighbor,
here quite
a... he wants to keep it close.
He got married here. I know that.
He's always spooling pasta at RL. He always says that.
That's right. Sightseeing? Star Wars creator George Lucas having a riffraff salad.
In our town.
In our town. With Kusum Tusum, Melanie Hobson. Tomorrow, around this time, Scott Stantis, the cartoon boy from the Tribune, will be in to look at the captions you provided for this cartoon. It's a Cubs player. He's at bat. There's a ball coming towards him, and the ball has a face, and its mouth is open. You pick it up from there, provide a caption. Top three will get a Gary Meyer muff, and then runners-up will get something, too. You can send those captions only to my Facebook page, The Gary Meyer Show, and you can see the cartoon on my Facebook page or the Tribune website.
So has the ball been hit, or the ball looks like it's almost
on its way? It's on its way.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So which newspaper is going to have the headline, "The Force is with us"?
Probably both. Sometimes they just got to go with the obvious, and they have the same headline.
Yeah.
312-521-8600. And a little breather here. And by breather, I mean I'm going to make some water. This Arnold Palmer's going right through me.
Oh, you're Palmering today?
Yeah. Oh, all summer. I'm trying to do a Palmer a day.
Keep the doctor away.
Trying to get into the whole iced tea and lemonade spirit.
That's a good comment. When it's made right, there are a few things that are better.
It sounds like, how can you screw that up? But
How is it today?
It's good.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Spartans! What is your profession?
The Immortals.
It must be the top of the hour.
Top of the hour. 5 o'clock. The fun of sounds. I'd like to get Chewbacca up here when they come in for a little interview.
That'd be a good get.
A little Q&A.
Good get. All of them. Why just him? He'll come in.
Really? Is that how he sounds?
Pretty much.
You mock what you don't understand. 312-521-8600. More in a few seconds. Gary Meyer on the 50 million watt superliner. I'm going to fit right in with this George Lucas Museum because that's all about the future.
Future.
Maybe I'll broadcast from the museum.
I'm just going to say, how great
would
that
be? That's the future.
The first remote from the...
I poo-pooed it, now I'm all part of it.
You're jumping on that bandwagon.
Yesterday, I had some people on that were discussing the mayor's idea of lighting up the city. He wants more lights, and then their response was, too much light is not good. It is a health issue. And now this text says, well, what about all these new lightsabers that George is bringing? That won't be good. Well, right?
It has the potential
too much
to be
light.
A very cool museum. If he's going to bring all...
Again, I don't have any problem if I'm not paying for it.
Right.
unless I'm getting a cut of the action, I don't want a dime of taxpayer money involved in this. But this thing went down pretty quickly. I know it's been months in the, oh, he's coming here, oh, San Francisco's back in the game, then L.A. got into it, then boom, done. That tells me something was handed over
because,
in the process.
Because Emmanuel gave the committee that he put together only a month to come up with a location. I mean, it was like boom, boom.
Yeah, and they went over to the museum campus, and that's where you put a museum, and they found a space. I don't know. I just, the city doesn't do things where we're involved. We're involved only on the pain end of it.
After it's done, we're told what's going to happen. We're never asked.
And a guy in, I believe this is Florida, died in a wood chipper. How do you, I know when you
Holy
see those
Fargos.
Guys, seeing those guys throw those big branches in there, and I would stand back, but he somehow fell in and was extracted on the other end.
Oh.
Pulled through the wood chipper. Don't you just, like, put the front end of the branch in and then stand back?
And does that, is that kind of, I've never been close enough, does that kind of a thing that just drags you in?
Yeah. You see when they,
well, I've seen it.
It pulls that branch right in there and comes out as mulch on the other side. Oh. And then you pick it up at Home Depot.
Oh,
well, and put it around your garden.
Well, that scene from Fargo where the guy's jamming the leg in there.
Yeah,
the arm or whatever that.
That's a movie. This is real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a wood chipper would be nice. Is there a home version, a smaller one? I don't want one of those industrial city type ones, but they have all these branches that always fall in your yard.
It's, I bet you they have one.
A nice home.
A small one, sure. I bet you they do.
Home version?
It'd be a smart idea because then
you
could
need
make
a little
your
one,
own mulch.
Those little, speaking of mulch, yesterday you went into a 15-minute explanation of
is it
better to buy the mulch from Home Depot or have it delivered? You went and bought how many bags?
72.
72 bags, took four trips to get your mulch out.
And took me 7 hours to do. No, 9 hours.
And a saleswoman here today, she mulched with her husband over the weekend, and she had it delivered. It was delivered at the end of the driveway, and then you go put it in a wheelbarrow and take it back there. And she said, every bone in her body hurts now.
I'm telling you.
So that's all you do. You're dragging, and you're mulching.
It is. And even in she didn't have to go, you know, she was hurting, and she didn't have to carry the mulch initially from the bag. And then, of course, I even forgot. So then when you go to the Home Depot, it's all the way in the back. And because I was buying, you know, 20 at a time, they give you this giant, you know, dolly. Mm. So, of course, I put 20 bags on here. I stack it. I'm pulling it out. There's a hole in the concrete where I'm going. They tip over. The whole thing tipped over. 20 bags now flat on the ground. And I'm so embarrassed. And the guy thankfully helped me.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, boss, you might want to make two trips.
No, man, I'm
like,
very
no
efficient this way.
I'm like, no way. I'm
I always hate that when I stack something and then it all falls off.
It was so perfectly stacked, and it wasn't
fault.
It was that there was this hole in the concrete.
Sure, right. It's always something in the concrete.
It was.
When you trip or whatever, it's always the concrete's fault.
And I could just, it was slow motion.
Why can't somebody invent, you've seen this grass that rolls out now, it's a pad,
yeah, right?
And then after
cool.
some rain and stuff, it just goes right into the ground and becomes your grass,
right?
Instead of seed that blows away or whatever. Why can't somebody invent mulch that's on a roll so it's not all over the place? You just roll it out,
sharks,
and it doesn't blow away in the first wind because that's always the problem with mulch, it blows onto your sidewalk. Can't somebody invent a roll out mulch blanket?
Man, I would love that. I would love that.
Spread it all out. Take you about a fraction of the time.
Man, think about how nice that would be. And even if it was something that it rolled out and you even then were able to pull the other part away where it wasn't like the bottom part, just helping me roll it out would make a huge thing because you're just shoveling and bending and pushing.
All right, I'm going to invent the roll out mulch blanket, the bed.
The mulch blanket. There it is. Sharks?
Sharks, I need $500,000 to get 25% of it.
I guarantee you they would be you would have at least three sharks battling. I would say, Robert?
Somebody came up with that roll-out lawn thing, that grass, that seed that's in a roll, and they roll it out, and then after a few weeks, it just goes right in and becomes grass.
And what's the deal? That the padding then just disintegrates?
Yeah, it's all organic. And I have to go to that company.
That's, yeah. Well, I know you love sod, but sod is, it seems to me that is a lot. That I wonder if that's more expensive than sod. You think it is? The rollout thing?
I don't know.
Because it seems like it's much easier to put down, and it's a lot less work. I mean, you put sod down, you have to water that every day, or it dies in 2 seconds.
Yeah, this seems more durable.
Yeah.
And
because they put it on the highway.
Maybe it's just practical for patching. I don't know. I've only seen it in patching situations.
Well, they put it on the highway a lot.
Right, but we're paying for that, too. So what do they care what the cost is? That's, again, us grabbing our ankles. And I mentioned earlier, I got a text about some beer and nude fest in the Poconos this weekend. If you're looking for something to do. Sure, there are countless beer festivals happening everywhere all the time. And while most present the same sort of scene, tables, taps, brewery reps, and crowds of enthusiastic and thirsty beer nerds lining up to grab a glass full of the latest and greatest suds, here's one that's so out of the ordinary that it's in a class all of its own, because it requires its guests to doff their duds before entering. Nudity is a requirement for Sunny Rest Resort's annual beer festival. It takes place this Saturday, 1 to 5. You're free to wear a robe, towel, or even pants and a shirt elsewhere at this clothing optional vacation getaway in the Poconos, but on site of the annual Brewfest, only birthday suits will be tolerated. I've never heard of this before. Tickets are $16 in advance, 18, day of the festival, along with the entry to the Beer Fest and unlimited samples from breweries near and far. The ticket includes a free day's admission to Sunny Rest Resort. Fest goers can also take advantage of discounts on rooms and campsites. The after-party festivities, which also require nudity, take place at the resort's Streakers Bar and Flashers Nightclub.
And it's just for the heck of it, right? There's no need.
There's never a need.
I guess not.
I've only been to nude beaches, some by accident, mostly by accident.
Accident, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Turned a corner and there were those guys playing volleyball naked.
Well, you just said you saw the naked bike riders a couple weeks ago.
Well, that was right here on Michigan Avenue, yeah. I don't have the...
I don't know. You seem to gravitate to these things, and yet they always seem to be... by the way, I just happened to see it.
Just a coincidence. Yeah. I didn't know they were happening.
Yeah.
I give people credit that can do this. Oh. I think it's really freeing to walk around Starkers.
But...
to be comfortable like that.
But I think I think a robe would just be enough, right? If you were naked under the robe, that's still
what
free.
Good does that do anybody?
Well,
I can walk
you're...
around in a robe at home. Why do you want to walk around in a robe at a beer fest?
Well, I don't know. Well, you could ask the question: why do you want to be naked at?
Well, some people do, and they have this opportunity. I don't know. It just seems like it would be an experience that you'd want to try at least once in your life. At least I would.
You never did, though, right? Have you?
No.
No? Because you were at a nudist colony.
Well, I was hired to...
You're still gonna judged in the nude.
I was a judge. I was...
You could have been a nude judge. You could have gotten into the spirit.
I...
See?
I
well, there you go.
I don't think so.
So one minute you say it would be freeing, and the next minute you said...
Not in Indiana. not gonna
waste my nudity on Indiana.
No, it's got to be more exotic.
It's got to be a better story.
It's
got to
be like in the Philippines or something.
If you're going to do it right.
Right. Far, far away. Speaking of Star Wars, two Florida inmates along with five others were arrested in what authorities describe as a plot to sue the Florida Department of Corrections. The department began its investigation after two inmates were shot. The two that were shot told guards they were shot by an unknown assailant while they were praying in their cell. With the help of friends, family members, and a third inmate, the suspects allegedly smuggled the pistol into the prison through the mail. They allegedly had plans to shoot themselves and sue the prison system in an effort to settle for reduced sentences. See, if they
look at these plots.
If they took this energy, this thought process, and channeled it into something good.
Because that's a pretty good plan.
Is it?
Well, no, I mean, if you're desperate and you're in there.
I guess.
They're trying to find a way out without escape, without using the little
that hole, and we hear these stories
20 years.
Semi-often, people are shooting themselves, thinking that they're going to get whatever, in this case, a shorter sentence.
Never works.
And you know exactly where to shoot yourself, so it's not going to kill you. And I'm sure there are some, everybody knows that, you just shoot your, whatever. But you can't be 100% sure that it's not going to kill you. Something could go wrong, but you're willing to take that chance, I guess.
A lot of veins and arteries.
Yeah, you never know. And they were thinking, okay, we'll sue the prison, and we'll settle for a shorter sentence.
I don't want your money.
Great.
Just let me out in halftime. Time served.
But the frightening part is they got the gun in this plot through the mail.
The smuggling thing doesn't seem to be a problem in jail. There seems to be a lot of ways that stuff, contraband, gets in. That's all you hear.
And if you use the Shawshank Redemption template, it was the guy delivering the books. He was the courier.
Right.
And he had his connections, and then you give him a pack of cigarettes, and you got whatever you wanted, the poster, the little chipping mallet tool.
Well, remember you had last week, we had the guy, the fugitive, McAfee, the fugitive.
He was on the run.
And he had said that he was in jail, he had money, and he bought steaks for the guards, and he was going to be elected mayor of the prison. So how do you do that? I mean, I wonder how you even approach this. Do you go to the guard right off the bat and say, okay?
Here, if you're in prison, all that becomes kind of clear after about, I think, a week.
Okay.
You get the whole thing down.
I guess.
Here are the guys that you want to stay away from in the shower.
And here's what,
get for two packs of cigarettes. There's a whole menu.
These are the guys that you want to stay away from, and here's how much it's going to cost for them to stay away from you.
Mm-hmm. And if you need something special, talk to that guy. It takes about 2 weeks. And you'll be in business.
Well, remember, there's a scene from The Goodfellas, too, where they're all in there at the same time, and the guy's smuggling in lobster, and they're cooking. And he's
like at home. Yeah. Set up nice.
I don't know how they do that, though.
What is your point?
Doesn't the warden know that that's happening?
Okay. Come on, the warden.
Oh, the warden's getting paid off.
The warden.
He's getting paid off,
is
too.
Is part of the whole thing.
Well, then what?
Seeing Shawshank Redemption, he had his own thing going.
I know, but what good is
that? And he had the prisoners
that?
Working for him.
But what good is that, then?
Which part?
What's good is the warden, then? If he's just as corrupt.
He keeps some of these people under his thumb for a while. Keeps them incarcerated. That's all he's there for.
Yeah.
Whatever happens beyond that, doesn't matter. As long as these guys aren't on the street.
See, I apply too much logic. Like, well, why? That's not right.
That's prison.
I would last about 10
how it
seconds.
Works. And then if somebody squeals on you, you take the gun out of the drawer and then you blow your brains out. That's how it ends. Questions? 312-521-8600. Hey, we got some tunage.
What do we got?
What do you want? How about some Cooper?
Okay, wait a minute. You got to tell me.
I don't have to tell you. I know you got 7,000 songs on your iPod.
No, 7. 26,000.
26,000.
26,000. Hold on a second here.
Look, that's amazing because when you think about if you had all those albums.
I did. 20,
okay. But you had CDs. You didn't have the 12-inch vinyl.
No, I had CDs. Well,
right.
Right. These are all
think
CDs.
About going back a few if you had all these on albums.
Oh.
26,000 songs. Because there are only 14 songs on an album.
10 at that time.
10. That's a lot of albums.
a lot of storage. A lot of storage. Well, I've got all of my CDs now. I used to have them in like four. I had about 2,500 or so CDs, and I used to have them in four bookcases.
I took those all down. I have them now all in bins in the basement.
What are you going to do with them?
I don't know. I hate to give them away. I mean,
why? You got everything on your
I know, but
iPod.
Some, but some of them are really cool. They're like the box set.
How often do you look at them?
Oh, I don't look at
them. At all. And then the basement floods.
Well, I put them in a spot where the basement isn't flooding that much.
But you're going to leave them down there, and then in 10 years, you're just going to give them to the Salvation Army.
I know. I'm probably going
to
do
that. Yeah, so
But it's hard initially to do that.
Give away one bin, see how that feels, and see if you even remember giving away the bin in a month.
Yeah, maybe I should
give
pick,
away one bin.
I should pick because I have got them alphabetized. So maybe I'll pick a letter like E through
maybe,
G.
Maybe if you want, I can give away on the show.
Oh, man.
Bin of Bibbles.
Bibbles music. Bins.
A Bibble bin. Who wants a Bibble bin? Yeah. We'll figure it out. Give them away. How many in a bin?
Oh, my God. I've got two layers in each bin. You know, one on the bottom, then the layer of CDs.
Guesstimate. Couple hundred?
In one bin?
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right. Maybe. That's a nice gift.
Maybe.
You're not going to use them anymore.
I know.
You have everything on the iPod.
I'm probably not going to. Well, now we're ready.
312-521-8600, text or phone number. Here's Alice. GM on the Super Streamer. Somebody called and said that sounded tinny, but I don't know. It could be your device.
Yeah, this
sounded fine leaving here off the iPod.
This is iPod. This is digital.
It's not off YouTube.
No way. This is... That's from the album. I mean, it's from the CD. It's not from...
Oh, yeah. It's not from some bootlegger.
Yeah.
Not from some drug dealer on the street. Got any music from this century? I do not. I'm sorry. I do not have any in my repertoire today, but I will... eventually get to that.
If this century had some good music, it would be played.
Ouch. Ah. I'd like to feature some of the classics. And I think that's a good way to go about business, but I'm not opposed to something from this century. I'll get around to it.
You played Rihanna.
I did. But I played some Pink.
Some Eminem Pink, yeah.
But I think that's actually a good thing that you're doing this because, first of all, you could hear the current or new music, anywhere you want. And B, just like Rick Hogan said last week, he mentioned the name Steve McQueen, and his editor, who was in his 30s, didn't even know who Steve McQueen the actor was.
Okay.
So you are opening, what if somebody never heard Alice Cooper, or never heard Bob Dylan's Rainy Day Woman?
Right, I'm trying to instruct along the way.
There's a whole generation that doesn't even know about these people.
Highway is sprayed on. The rollout stuff is more than sod due to the manufacturing that occurs. I was talking about that rollout grass.
Yeah.
You see that like carpeting, and then it eventually just becomes grass.
And what is he saying?
That it's more expensive than sod.
Oh, okay.
It must be, because otherwise why wouldn't people use that? Because that stuff seems to blossom pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think it needs as much watering either.
That's what I'm wondering. And you have to prep for sod and all that. This, you just slop it down there and it
grows. You've used it?
Yeah, we've used the stuff that comes more like an insulation in a fluffy form to fill in patches, and that stuff is awesome.
Well, nobody's watering it on the side of the highway, so obviously it must be pretty self-sufficient.
It's got to be pretty durable, yeah. Lowe's already ripping off Meijer's Easy Gardener Rubber Mulch 6 Foot Brown Landscaping Edging Roll.
Wow.
I was talking about mulch on a roll.
Instead of in a bag.
We bought some of that.
Oh, it's out there.
It's rubber backed, yeah.
Yeah, and you just roll it out?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so the weeds.
What am I doing?
So the weeds don't pop through it either. It's got that rubber back.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, I want to say it's pretty expensive. We only did a tiny strip, so it wasn't that bad. It doesn't go very far.
Yeah, you need a lot to get your garden beds done.
So it's not loose then?
It's on a roll. Unless you aren't, but it is.
No, but you said it's rubber backed.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
But it just looks mulchy on top. Mostly it's just to fill in a little strip area so that you don't have weeds popping through.
It seems like the same concept as a fake vomit
well, that's
pad.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Remember those fake pukes?
Yeah.
It has the same kind of, to me, It's just an extension of that.
So is this real mulch then, or is it plastic?
No, it's plastic.
Oh, it is rubber.
Yeah.
Oh.
How does it look, though? Does it look rubbery?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't want that. I want organic.
You got
natural
it.
Natural looking.
I played that Alice Cooper, really, to honor the fallen... Ann B. Davis.
Wow.
Yeah.
The
why?
Other Alice.
Because she was Alice on the Brady Bunch, and I did not get around to getting some homage off to her.
Jeez. You know, real quick, too, we just got a call complaining that we played too much music today. I think we played two songs.
That was the second song.
And we done 4 hours.
Yeah.
No, it's 2.5 hours.
And so I just want to make sure that people are aware that we're doing this instead of playing commercials. Gary could choose to play commercials. We wouldn't just not break. We have to break for something. Music instead of commercials.
Two songs.
Two songs in 2 hours. Yeah, the music just keeps coming.
Wow.
We guarantee a song every 45 minutes.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Well, this was two for Tuesday, right. So you're doubling up.
Thank you. I think you're going to hear at least two more by 7.
Oh, you wild man.
And boy, let's not get too used to no commercials, because
the texts are going to explode.
Cannot sustain with no commercials. It might not be the commercial load you've heard on, as they call it, terrestrial radio.
Old media.
Old media. Your grandfather's media, but...
The past.
The the discarded.
The
there
dead.
Will be...
The dead.
The dead. The savages. Let them lose their souls. There has to be some kind of revenue component to make all this work eventually. And I think listening to all of us talk for 4 straight hours,
oh.
I don't know if that would be the ticket either. Because that's what it would be.
Yeah. Well, what
it would dull your instrument, though. You got to keep it razor sharp. You need
and the intelligence of the audience.
I hate a-holes who say that the only good music came out 40 years ago.
Here we go. Here we go.
I didn't say the
I
only good
music. I
thought
I was music. The D-weasel. What is it? D what?
Nozzle.
D nozzle. And D
nozzle, nugget.
Nugget,
or canoe.
D nozzle.
The music is just a nice respite along the way. I'm not trying to reinvent smoke on what songs I play.
And it's cool to play songs you haven't heard in a long time, or maybe never even heard it. You played a few that I hadn't even heard.
That
never heard.
George Harrison song you played yesterday, I swear, I have never heard that before.
Never?
I don't think I ever
You like
did.
It?
I liked it even better the second time when I listened to the rebroadcast after 7 o'clock.
Great song.
It was an amazing song.
That album that came out right after
All
the
Things Must Pass.
Beatles split. He put out that triple album
And maybe
set.
That's it. Like, at that point, it was kind of,
was 1970.
Oh, this is... George Harrison can't be a solo act.
Yeah, well, that album, or that triple album, a lot of good stuff on there.
But not only that, you were young at that time. You probably weren't even listening to album rock.
Absolutely not. I don't know that I was even born yet.
Well, let's not go crazy.
Okay.
I was 6 in 1970.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
wow.
Just turned 6.
Well, then, yeah, I was going to be a toddler.
Then if you were 6, then I really wasn't born.
Something like that.
If we all get to move back time.
I'm pretty happy overall with my music selections. These are songs that I've liked, and they stand the test of time. I will share those with you, or I'll take your suggestions and think about those. Some people... came up with songs that I've played.
You still haven't played Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels is not, and it's every day. Play Hell on Wheels, you mother.
Every day.
Well, Mac is coming to town. And by the way, Craig, book him. Maybe I'll play some Hell on Wheels when he's around. That's the
ninth.
Second week in July.
Yeah, July 9th.
How about that?
There you go. If his virus isn't still around.
Yeah, he's been canceling shows. I wonder if he does interviews. I... have had him. He's been on the show over the years. He's not opposed to it. Leslie, you have to run? You didn't do anything.
I know.
Tell those other people to screw themselves. You're busy. Go ahead. Go on. I dare you. screw yourself, and you run out. John,
screw you.
Screw you and your old ways.
And your old media.
Yeah, and your staticky son of a bitch ways. Go ahead, tell him.
I bet it's crackling right now, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a storm somewhere. John, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but I had to discipline somebody right in studio.
Oh, I've done that myself to people at times.
You have
to. I could outdo that if I wanted to. Hey, I'm calling from Columbia, Tennessee, and I wanted to say, do what you're doing. I love it. I'm even rearranging my drive up to Saskatchewan this week to leave on Thursday instead of Friday so I can listen to you along the road.
Thank you.
Because after I leave Grand Forks, North Dakota, Saturday morning, I'll be able to pick up Kathy and Judy on the other thing off the Internet.
Whatever you do with them is none of my business. How are you familiar with my show?
I have listened to you all the way back. I've only been able to listen on the stream when you were on the stream back there and on this one, and I listen every day.
And you're from Chicago originally?
We met 20 years, and then about 17 years ago moved to Tennessee. But I've listened to WGN for 57 years, I just figured out this afternoon.
Why did you move to Tennessee?
I met this nice lady. And kind of went from there.
Okay.
She said, I don't want to live in Chicago, so I moved to Tennessee. And I found a really good job down here at the time.
Where in Tennessee are you?
Columbia, Tennessee.
Oh, you said Columbia. I'm sorry. Where is that in relation to something we would know?
About 40 miles south of Nashville. Former home of the Saturn plant, now a GM plant.
Okay. And you're doing a big road trip coming up here.
Yeah, we have a summer place in Saskatchewan, in a little town with just 14 people. And I'm driving up there, my second drive up for the summer.
And
so what happens is when I hit the border to go into Saskatchewan, I lose my roaming data.
Oh, okay.
Because I forgot to turn it off one time, and I went across the border. And half an hour in, I remembered it and turned it off, and I got $26 worth of charges for that little bit of time. It's $2.05 per mega per meg as you're driving through there. So, sorry, I have to wait till I get up to our house, and then I can get back on the Wi-Fi. And
do you stay up there all summer then?
My wife does. I go back and forth because somebody has to take care of the house down here too.
Okay. And Saskatchewan, as far as the summer place, how did you end up with that?
That's my wife's family, the old family place where her mother was born and grew up.
Oh, yeah.
And a kind of somebody said, hey, you guys are always good to this stuff. We'll give you the house. Well, thanks a lot. The house flooded last year, so we were up there all summer replacing it.
You know? Oh, that's nice. Well, you got it for free, so anything you put into it is your money.
Yeah, but the old house had been moved from a farm 40 miles away. The new house had to be built, and so the difference in price is just astounding. So,
yeah. Well, I'm glad you're taking me for the ride, Johnny.
I'm glad to have you on the Streamliner.
All right, thank you.
Love to hear it.
Thanks, John.
All right.
Have a good trip.
Take care.
Have a safe trip. Mark.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, what's up?
Listen, I just want to let you know that, you know, we're following you. And, you know, there's some advantages and disadvantages, obviously, being off AM. But as the advantage, I travel a lot. And let's say the last 2 weeks I was in Sweden and I was in Bangladesh, and I picked you up. Obviously, in Bangladesh, it's 13 hours difference. But I actually wake up with you. Instead of the evening, it's in the morning. So it was good to hear from you. We're living up in Madison now. We still used to get the AM radio, but actually the stream is clearer.
Yeah. They're dead to you, aren't they?
Huh?
AM is dead to you.
Yes, absolutely.
It's got to be dead now.
Yeah, it's kind of dead.
It's
My wife likes to listen in the morning, but we kind of shut it down after, you know, after about 10 o'clock and switch to, obviously we work, but then switch on to you.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I hope the advertisement follows. You know, I don't know how they track, track the audience, but I think your audience is following you.
Yeah, they have some numbers. I guess there's been a nice surge. Now, it's not what it was on AM, but in the future, it will be all of that, because that's where everything's going to move eventually.
Well, I think the hardest thing is people to get used to it, right?
Yeah.
You know, change is tough, and, you know, you have to get used to the Internet if you're not used to it. But once you figure it out on the iPhones or computers, it's actually not bad.
Once you go giga.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they say. Thanks, Mark.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Enjoy
Bye.
Yourself up there in Madtown. Scott?
Yeah, hey, Gary. It's Scott. I think the music you're playing is great. I don't know who's complaining.
Yeah,
but,
hell, you're going to get people going to complain about anything. If Jesus had a show,
right.
They'd call him. You call yourself the Messiah?
What kind of savior are you?
What kind of person walks on water?
Kind of person water they play music instead of commercials.
Well, again.
That's you, buddy.
It's just a little different, and I have the capability to play music where I didn't before, so why not use that?
Oh, excellent. Keep it up.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care.
312-521-8600.
Why did it take you 3 days to rise from the dead?
Yeah. What are those guys that you hung out with? What's their deal at the Last Supper? Here's a text. Turn me on to Santana and Styx.
See? There you go.
Is that so wrong?
I think out of the 26,000 songs that I have in my iPod, I can probably count how many have been recorded in the last 5 years?
Because all of that, that came out in the last 5 years?
Yeah, that came out in the last 5 years. I'm not saying that I think that the only good music was done 40 years ago, but, you know, it's hard for me to listen to somebody who's 25 or 20 and singing about love and all this, because I'm like, you know what, I've been through that already, and you'll get over
been
it.
Been through what, the love? Or
well,
the...
yeah, all these heartaches and all this, like, don't worry, you'll meet somebody else. Don't worry about it.
You want your love songs from 30 years ago.
When I, because I remember when I was going through that. So now it's, and when you go to a concert now, if you went to a concert when you were 25 and you saw somebody who was 50, right? Wouldn't you be like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Now you're that guy.
So now I'm that guy. So the 20-year-olds in the bands, they're not singing to me. Their audience doesn't want me there.
Okay.
So why should I go?
So why are you there?
So I'm not. So I am just very happy in the music that I know. And
everybody's
have lived
going
with.
To gravitate to whatever their deal is.
But or did you have a bad situation at a Taylor Swift concert? You tried to crowd surf or something.
When
didn't
I went
you?
To Shrillex,
Mad Mouse, I got body surfed.
Yeah. But I mean, there was a point in my late 30s, early 40s where I was really trying to like the newer music, and then it wasn't speaking to me. And finally, I just said, "Why do I have to pretend to like this? Let me just like what I like and be happy with it and not have to worry about being
right." I don't think people are coming here for the music. They're coming
I would hope not.
For the the chatter, and then the music is just some seasoning. That's all it is.
But I think you're actually doing a service, because there are a lot, and hopefully there's a lot of young people listening, and there is a huge amount of music that is not the Rolling Stones and not the Beatles and not the Who, that they may know, and they deserve. And you were a guy that was there when it was starting, and you were playing a lot of that music, as you know, when you were a DJ. So you have access and memories of that stuff. Why not use it?
Again, it is what it is. And the great thing about all this is there are no ratings, so it doesn't matter. Hopefully more people are coming in, but there are no ratings per se. It won't be evaluated the same way it was evaluated for the last 30-some years.
I say more off-Broadway.
I love off-Broadway.
That's what I mean.
I'll play more.
That's right. And who else is playing off-Broadway?
Have you talked about the Lucas Museum yet? Yes, it broke about, 5 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
When that was officially announced that it is coming here, the museum's coming here. I said I would eat crow because I thought it would never come here. And then I thought, wait a minute, how come this deal went down so quickly? I want to know who's paying for this. I want to make sure that there are no tax dollars used for this billionaire to plop his You Store It.
Well, I'll believe it when Obi-Wan comes here. I don't believe it until I see it. I still think they're using us.
Well, if they're announcing the deal, I don't know how they can use us.
Yeah. Well.
Here's Ed.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I'm originally from Chicago, Bridgeport to be exact. Long-time listener. I go back to when you were with that other guy. But I got to tell you, I've been talking you up a lot down here in the South. I'm in North Georgia, but you gotta lighten up on the Civil War stuff.
Because you people love to talk about the Civil War.
Love that war.
You love that war.
I mean, you know, it like you're talking about Gettysburg yesterday. I mean, there's I own a retail shop, and I tell everybody I can about you, and you know, because radio down here really sucks. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't a civil war. It was a war of northern aggression. Let's get that straight.
Love those grays.
How much for a skirmish? I'm just surprised that these people get in this heavy wool clothing in the middle of summer to reenact these wars.
Yeah, I know, and they got one going on now, Kennesaw Mountain this weekend. I know too much about this stuff. I'm sorry, but
he's a lieutenant.
Yeah, right. He's Ulysses Grant. No, that wouldn't be the right. You're
he's
Sherman.
Lee.
Robert E. Lee. Come
Robert
on.
Robert E. Lee.
Yeah.
He's a medic.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah, he carries a flag. He's the flag guys were the guys out in front, I learned in Gettysburg. Those poor idiots.
What did they do?
They would carry the big flag.
They were the first
they
ones to get killed,
the front.
Right?
Yeah. Gettysburg thing, you've been to Gettysburg, right, Ed?
Oh, absolutely.
I just am amazed to see it's just a big open field, and these people are shooting at each other for 3 days.
Oh, and they mowed them down. I mean,
50,000 dead and wounded in three days.
Yep.
Weren't there 500,000 dead during the whole war, though?
Was it that many?
I believe so. I believe you're right. It's in,
And this is our own country.
I know, but it's it was
damn
it,
Yankees,
right?
That's what they're talking. See, you know, and when they come in the shop, I listen to that Gary Meyer and that guy. You know, he's one of them damn Yankees. and they call me a Yankee for the longest time. My relatives were in Europe until the early 1900s, but I'm still a Yankee. Because that's where I'm from, born and raised in Chicago.
When did you leave here?
I was, back in 83. So I've been down here, long time.
And what was your motivation to go down there?
Business.
Well, as they say, one person moves out of this state every 10 minutes. It's been going on for decades. That guy that I talked to before, he moved out 20-some years ago. You left. There's nobody here, Ed. I'm looking out the window of the Tribune Tower. There's nobody here. They're all gone.
I got two new Illinois license plates in my neighborhood, as a matter of fact, in the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're bailing on us, but maybe now that we have Chewbacca coming in, they'll come back. Yeah, we got a museum coming in, George Lucas Museum, coming right here.
Really?
Yep. Official.
I thought you guys lost that.
Well, I thought we did too, but they're going to make the official announcement, I guess, tomorrow, but we're getting it.
Wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah. Might want to come back up. How much do you get up here often?
No, not as often as I should, because if I did, I'd probably weigh another 100 pounds, because people don't know what good food is down here either. I mean, that's another problem.
Pizza doesn't sound very happy.
Yeah, you moved down there.
Doesn't sound very happy.
The radio is crap. The food is crap.
The food is terrible. The people are all calling him a damn Yankee.
Unless you're a psychiatrist, I don't know why you moved down there.
Jeez. I love the mountains and guns.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got guns here. Everybody's got a gun now.
A musket in every pot.
Yeah, but you know, in Kennesaw, you break the law if you don't own a gun.
Wow. That's a little much, but I don't know that whole gun thing. And
well, I'm a skeet shooter, trap shooter, all that. I don't hunt. I don't shoot, which is another bad thing because everybody down here shoots deer.
Okay.
Yeah, another thing to not be happy about.
Got to call the herd. All right, Ed. Appreciate you checking
in.
Thank
you. All right. Keep up the good work.
All right.
Thank you.
Go Yankees. Terry.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Good, Terry.
Perry.
What is it?
Being on air with you. Perry, with a P.
Oh, okay, it says Terry here, but Perry's good, too?
It happens all the time, man.
All right.
Hey, I,
I just wanted to tell you, so when you first came on the air, I went to my dad. I'm like, hey, Dad, have you heard of this guy named Gary Meyer? I'm 32, so I'm a millennial. I might be a little younger than some of your listenership. And my dad looked at me sort of funny. And ever since then, I mean, obviously, he knows who you were. So I've been listening to you since you came on the air. And when you were gone, I was really upset about it. And finding you on this platform is actually more conducive to me. I love it, man. I love listening to you. I got to commute from Plainfield to Rosemont every day and less commercials. I'm not a huge fan of Santana, but outside of that, it's fantastic.
What's wrong with Santana? When did that go bad? I ain't got nobody. Bum, 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 bum. That I can depend on.
Got a black magic woman.
Oh, yeah, come on.
I'm a product of 90s rock, man.
Hey, you started listening when I started at GN 5 years ago.
Well, I heard you fill in for the guy before you a couple of times, and I loved every second of that, thank goodness. And then you came on full time, and yeah, I've listened to you almost every day since that I've been in the car, and I love it on the live stream. It's fantastic. It's easy for me. I've got a company phone, so I don't have to worry about minutes or anything like that. And it's clear, less commercial. It's fantastic. So you got me and a number of the people that I associate myself with as well are avid listeners. So,
well, thank you, Terry. Appreciate you being on board.
Hey, man. Glad you're here.
Tell your father I said hey.
I will.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
That's Perry. I'm sorry, I said Terry again. It was Terry on the screen. It's Perry. And
you're number one with mobile millennials.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think Eddie wants to take this call.
Yes, James, what can you tell us? What's going on?
It's raining like cats and dogs at the airport.
Which one?
O'Hare.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm looking out the window here on the Tribune's 7th floor, the Tribune Tower North, and it is dark out O'Hare way. So, and I got some other texts that Eddie, I think, wanted to break in with about it's raining like hell in Niles or something.
Yes! Bastard,
yes,
keep everybody
really
informed.
Here.
What's that?
It's raining really bad here.
All right, grab your ankles.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
You know how people are calling you up to listen to your show on the phone?
Right.
If you go to freeconference.com, you could get an 800 number, give out the 800 number and the PIN number, and then link your one phone call into that conference call, and then they can key in there, and then, boom, they're on there.
What is it? Free what?
Freeconference.com.
Freeconference.com.
Correct. And you sign up your thing, your radio station, they'll give you a PIN number, and then you give out the phone number to the that they give you, and then the PIN number, and then they can call in, and then automatically be synced up to your radio station. But it's one call from you, so you tie up one phone line, and then you can have 1,500 different phone calls.
Oh.
And they can sit there and listen to what you're saying and everything else.
Great. There's another tip for how to listen to this.
But you have a good day, and I don't like the change. I hate the change, but I'll deal with it.
All right. That's what I said. That's what my bumper sticker says.
Listen to your, and if you could tell your producer to turn up the volume on the final cast, on the recorded parts, the rebroadcasting, if you could turn up the volume just a little bit, because I can never hear it on my phone.
Turn up the volume on the podcast.
It doesn't come in yes, it does not come up. It doesn't come on the phone. Is that loud?
Oh, really? Okay, I will tell Craig. Craig, Craig's right there. Craig, did you hear what this man said, and does it make sense to you?
I didn't catch it. Did he say some of them aren't loud enough or they're
too
loud?
He said turn up the podcasts.
Okay, so I think there was one podcast that they put up a little bit too quiet. Was that just one time that you had that problem, or was it several?
It's been several times.
Okay.
I have to get I'm going to be getting a sound bar from work. I work for a company that we sell sound bars, so I'm going to put it right up my dash just so I can listen to you guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
We should be able to raise the volume on those. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, James.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Bye.
Appreciate the input. Linnea? Is that how you say that?
Linnea.
Linnea.
Yeah. I also have a long commute. I drive an hour and a half longer in the winter. I go from Joliet to DeKalb and back. And I think you should get all of us people who have the long commutes together on Facebook or something. Just get a, like, people with long commutes for Gary Meyer, because then, you know, when I hear other people calling in and I know that, you know, they're having the same, you know, doing misery loves company, I guess. It's nice to think there's people out there listening to you for an hour and a half or longer on their drive home on their phone, just like I am.
God bless you. These long commutes, I don't know how you do it. I really don't, without blowing your brains out, and I say that lovingly. It's just where this traffic every year gets worse and worse. And I guess if you didn't have something, and I'm thankful that I am that something for you, to take your mind off it, because otherwise you'd go nuts, right?
Oh, yeah, because you're consistent, and it's kind of almost like following a soap opera. You know, I can follow you, you know, day to day to day, and kind of the same storyline, the same characters, you know, and you get into it, and it doesn't seem like it's such a long drive.
Well, thank you, Linnea. I appreciate that, and I will be here for you.
I've been listening to you since you were, I think, what, were you in the newsroom with your old partner? Way before you guys were even broadcasting together. And I think I was in college then, so it's been a long time. But, as soon as you went on the FM, I followed you over.
No, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sure. No problem.
And you're home now?
I'm home now, yeah. I'm making supper.
Great. And then in a few hours, you do it all over again. That's,
and then I listen to Fran Meyer on the way to work.
Well, there you go. You got a Meyer sandwich.
That's right.
Thank you, Linnea.
Okay, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And I want to get your report now because I know you'll have to run and do it somewhere else. Hey, it's Joe, the Uber Cubs fan.
Yeah, you don't have to keep saying Uber Cubs. I'm a Cub fan that wants to see the Cubs win like you want to see the Hawks win. You
know, all right.
I'm a Cub fan. I'm sorry. Do I have to apologize for
that? No, all right, I'll drop the Uber. You're a Cubs fan. Go ahead.
Gary. I'm a Cubs fan who likes to see the Cubs win. And
gee, Gary.
WGN doesn't because they dumped them. So they're going to have to deal with that because they're just getting better and better every single day.
What is Bill and Wendy doing, Gary?
I can't understand what he just said.
He's trying to do your voice, I think. I don't know. Or he's having a seizure.
But keep up. Practice.
Yeah,
I'm coming in. I'm caught in traffic, and I can't listen to Bill and Wendy anymore. And, you know, I don't have to set up on the phone to do it. But I'm going to put you on speakerphone just so I can listen to a decent talk show, a decent show that these guys took you off of like morons. Like Bill and Wendy are talking about soccer over there. They're making me puke.
Well, soccer is very popular right now.
Oh,
trending.
Yeah. Bill was saying how much he hates it.
It's trending.
And that's how popular it is. He can't believe how popular it is because he hates it.
Okay.
But then don't talk about it then if you hate it.
Boy, Joe, I think if you continue with this line of commenting, I might have to... Oh, I can't find the button. Go ahead.
No, but I'm just saying they're boring. I mean, you added something to the 3-7 show, even though you whined and complained about the freaking Cubs.
I didn't say anything.
Here's what kills me, is that the summer would have went so much better for you eating outdoors.
Yeah.
You would have went along with the stupid Cub program.
Hey, I did like that when I got the shorter shows on a summer day. Who wouldn't like that?
Well, isn't that what I told you?
Yeah, I
did
know.
Did I tell you that?
You told me that.
And then next year, you could listen to BBM with the Cubs winning next year. I mean, that's the exciting thing. I mean, it won't even interrupt your show. Well, you don't have a show anymore. I forgot that.
Oh, wow. I got a show.
No, you have a show, but you're not. Is there any talk that you guys are going to do the FM thing in the next two or three years?
Well, there's talk. I think they're trying to acquire another FM signal, and then... They claim they're going to put me on that with Brandmeier, and we'll simulcast back onto .fm. Uh-oh, there's the top of the hour. 6 o'clock.
Is that what happens at 6 o'clock?
Yeah,
on this WGN.com, some kind of weird London thing? What's going on?
That's the freighter in Castaway.
Spartans!
When they Here's another
what
thing.
What is your profession?
The Immortals.
Wait.
You ever seen the movie 300?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Castaways.
Well, the first part was from Castaway. That's the freighter. What's wrong?
No, when he yelled at the volleyball, when the volleyball floated away, remember that?
Well, after that scene, then he's adrift and he's passed out on the raft and that freighter comes by, and that's the sound from the freighter. Don't ask me why I like it. I just like the sound of it.
Yeah, it's kind of kooky, but hey, that's what I miss about your show.
Yeah.
It's kind of the kookiness. I like that.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah, we're over there with Bill and Wendy talking about Wendy drinking vodka tonics while she's gardening, and Bill talking about how much he hates soccer. And
you're still listening, though.
What's that?
You're still listening.
Well, you know, you get in a habit of flipping on a show, and I'm trying to give them a chance, but
why?
Sorry.
Why do you have to give them a chance? I'm here.
Yeah, you're here, but I'm sitting here with not the ability to flip you on because I don't have the smartphone capability.
No. Okay.
I mean, Gary, for somebody that didn't have a cell phone for 2 years, I think you get it.
I wouldn't be able to listen to my own show right now. If I had to.
Hey, but listen, don't worry about the Cubs losing these games. I mean, the main thing is Castro and Rizzo keep hitting. Don't worry. Losing is not the problem right now. I just want to tell you that as long as I'm talking about the young players hitting, then you roll into next year, and they're going to be on BBM winning the World Series. But, hey, we could take it.
Hey, who tried to get the statue of Ron Santo when he was alive?
You know, Ron Santo, the whining and complaining about not going in the Hall of Fame kind of got on my nerves after 10 years.
I mean,
after about 10 years of him saying I should be in the Hall of, just shut up.
Wow, okay.
I mean, but you getting him a statue, that was very nice. I mean, that was,
it wasn't even you.
I mean, they took the credit for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right, after he died.
It's kind of the same thing when you spend 5 years making a show number one and they put Bill and Wendy there. It's kind of the same thing.
Pretty much the same thing, yeah.
It makes you sick. You must go home at night going, what the frick happened 5 years ago? What did I do?
Well, I try to do that line of thinking, and it doesn't go anywhere that has any logic, so I just drop it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you can't do it like you know better than anybody else. You can't do a thing about management. Management, they'll bite their face off despite their nose. Whatever the saying is, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is, but to get rid of you, number one, and hope Bill and Wendy are. That's kind of the same thing NBC did with Jay Leno and what's his face, redheaded dude. You know,
Conan O'Brien.
Right. Jay Leno was already number one.
Yeah, well.
And then they say, okay, well, we're going to slide this other guy in. And then 6 months later, they said, Jay, could you come back, please?
Yeah.
I mean, we might get that same story because I'm telling you, Bill and Wendy are killing that Joe over there.
Joe, I'm going to have to cut you off if I could find the button. I wish I could find that button.
You started being on W.com, right?
Huh?
Honesty?
Yeah, I don't. Am I censoring anything here?
Say it again.
Am I censoring anything?
No. But I'm saying, if WGN can't take it, then hey, what are they going to put you in a basement with two cups and a string?
I don't know. They have a basement here.
You're already in Bob Cratchit land.
I'm in Bob Cratchit land. I don't know where else I could go.
I mean, do you guys even know what the weather is anymore from 3 to 7? Or are you guys just trapped in some kind of room somewhere?
No, there are windows. I'm on the 7th floor now of the Tribune Tower facing north, and I see some clouds have moved in. That's all I know. I got a Ramsey report that I'll play for you here. It's pouring in Melrose Park.
The whole show, we miss it. Some people really do miss it. But I guess people with smartphones.
Yeah.
I guess. Maybe I should get up to the 21st century.
All right, Joe, give it a try. Come on.
All right, but listen, you still got the best show,
Thank you.
The Cubs are going to win.
All right.
And WGN makes me puke just because of just because they couldn't even hang on to the Cubs, and then the Cubs are going to win. And after what the Cubs were on their station for 55 years,
90,
No, it was actually 1958 was the first year. That was a 90. They make that up like it's a. That's another thing. This Hall of Fame.
What Hall of Fame?
Who's gonna what? Kathy and Judy are going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, what in the tampon aisle? What are these? What are these girls are the Hall of Fame of radio?
They did talk about menstrual cycles a lot on their show, didn't they?
Constantly.
Still, I think.
And I mean, you did more for WGN in 5 years than they did, what are you on, like 10 or
20.
11?
20.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I must have missed the first nine. Holy mackerel. Yeah. We missed two women, two yentas talking it up for like, you know, they got their first start during the Super Bowl. I bet they had a big audience that day.
Well, their first show was during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, if you listen to WGN doing the whole memorial to them or the whole tribute to them, they say they got their first start when the Super Bowl was going on, and these two chicks were talking to, like, you know, get some ratings. I'm sure they got fantastic ratings while the Super Bowl was going on,
yeah,
too.
Well, somebody's got to be on during these things.
Right, these but things I'm saying that I'm telling you, let's don't watch the Giants play the Colts. Well, let's go listen to Kathy and Judy.
Well, all radio stations are on during all of those major events. You got to put somebody on.
No, I know, but they're building it up like they were so fantastic during that.
Oh, okay.
You know, you imagine them doing anything during the Super Bowl that you want to listen to?
My AM listening has diminished greatly in the last month, I'll be honest.
I don't blame you. I mean,
think you are surprised.
They kicked you in the ass, but you're hanging in there.
All right, Joe, I'll talk to you, buddy.
Later.
Okay.
Hey!
Oops. he wanted to be on hold, right? Isn't that his deal? Well, he'll call back. Scott?
Yeah, Gary.
Hey, what do you got, buddy?
Hey, man, is Jimmy DeCastro trying to put the band back together on the .fm?
As far as what?
Well, I heard a promo for your show on WGN. It was yesterday afternoon during the show before Bill and Wendy, Bob and Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like Jim Shorts.
Well,
Kevin Matthews doing Jim Shorts.
Yeah, it is Jim Shorts, and he does do some things. I don't know what's going to happen beyond that.
Because it sounds like we're heading towards the loop days.
Well, I'm sorry, but very good. I don't think you can replicate something from 20-some years ago and think it's going to be remotely like it was. It fit in that era, and it was a moment in time when everything was kind of clicking in the right way. Everybody was lined up properly, and you try to put that back together, and sometimes it just ruins the memory of what it was.
I hear you.
So I don't see that happening in the way some people might think.
I was just curious because I was shocked to hear that voice on WGN.
Right.
Very good.
Thank you, my man. I don't know how much Jimmy there's going to be as far as that goes. I think Kevin was hired to do some of what they call imaging. They throw different things in during the day like that, a Jimmy Shorts. Beyond that, I don't know. I'm on a need-to-know basis, and even that I don't even know.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, I love your show, Gary. I love the previous caller, Joe. I love when he calls in. He's hysterical.
Thank you, Scott.
I love the format. I love the long format. It's a lot better than you getting interrupted every 6 minutes.
There is something that is very intoxicating about this format. I have to admit, having people talk as long as they want, there's no, as I've explained before, in those radio formats, all you're thinking about is, oh, my God, is this guy talking too long? Because the people meter, which is the rating system they use on commercial radio, is clicking, and you don't want to see those numbers go down, and they can pinpoint to the minute when they went south on you, and all that bull crap that goes with it, which we all have to live with when we're doing it, but it is nice to have some freedom.
Totally. I totally agree. I think your show has gotten so much better since it's moved.
Thank you.
It really has.
Appreciate it, Scott.
Okay, Gary.
Talk to you.
Keep up good work, man.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
312-521-8600. It's 6:10. I have to remember when it's replayed at 6 o'clock when I say good evening, America. I'm now widening my scope, and in the 3 o'clock hour, it was good evening, Zotemir, the Netherlands, and Los Angeles, because I got an email from Hans, who listens in Zotemir in the Netherlands, and I wanted to acknowledge that. And I read his email earlier. It'll be on the podcast, and the show repeats itself starting at 7 o'clock if you want to check it out again or check out something you didn't hear.
It's the Meyersphere.
I'm in a Meyersphere.
The Meyersphere. Instead of the blogosphere and all that?
And yes, the Lucas Museum was discussed. That clip that Duffy put in there are 7 runways at Ord. I remember where that was from because they were talking about putting a 4th runway in. And when I mentioned that on the air, I got a bunch of text calls. There are 7 runways at Ord. Okay, but in the article it said they're putting in the new 4th runway. I guess in the series of new runways, that was the 4th new runway, but they have a total of 7. And it got to be all that. The next time Joe calls, this is a text to 312-521-8600, ask him if he or someone in his house has a computer. He does not have to have a smartphone. He could hear it on the computer.
I can't believe he doesn't have a computer.
Yeah. Well, he's very passionate about all the Cubs and what he hates.
Well, Gary, I mean, they threw you off the air.
The problem with the Cubs is not losing. The problem is not winning. Look at it that way. You have to be, I guess, that ramped up to be a Cubs fan after
100 years.
100 years.
Or your whole lifetime.
Or whatever amount of time he spent with it. I thought the station, and by the station, my former home, had carried the Cubs for 90 years. Did I hear that wrong?
No, it's not 90, but it's pretty close to that. The thing is, for a while, there was no exclusive rights. So there were actually a couple of stations for many years that used to broadcast the games. But I believe it was in the 1940s or 50s, then, or 53 or something like that, then they got the sole.
But they had them before that, too.
But they had been doing them since they started in the 20s, in 1924. I mean, almost.
Yeah.
But they weren't exclusive.
Okay, but still, they carried the Cubs for 90 years.
Yeah.
That's really what they're banking on.
But that all ends next year.
Next season, different radio station.
Although the Cubs, I mean, as well as they have been playing of late, they still will probably, they're still on track to lose at least 95 to 100 games.
They've lost the last 3.
Yeah, they've lost 42 or 43 games, and we're not even at the All-Star break yet. So if they
do the math,
half and half, 45 and 45 is 90, and they're going to lose more than 3 games before the middle of July.
It is an odd situation. I think if you really stop for a moment, what the hell is wrong with this organization where it could be they have the best players at the time or whatever, and it still doesn't work for them, or they get close and something goes goofy. What's going on? What's the juju? Is it juju? Is it bad juju?
And even though people say, well, you know, the odds are they're going to win, but, I mean, it's been 105 years, so you can't even say that.
Joe seems to think that next year there's going to be a big spark.
Well, they just did promote one of their top prospects, this guy Bryant from the AA. He was tearing that league apart, so now he got promoted to AAA, and that's that's the last step before the majors. So there's a good chance that this guy might come in next year, and that's the first of their farm team guys that they've been promising are going to be, you know, the new future. But you know how the future is. it's always a crapshoot.
I'm happy with my future right now. But I haven't gone on a dry spell for 100 and some years. That's the other side of the coin. Digital weed. The latest and oddest addition to the vaporizer market is the EN joint, a marijuana vaporizer pen marketed as an electronic joint. The Dutch creation isn't really that different from a regular vaporizer pen outside of its appearance, shamelessly mimicking a rolled up joint with a green leaf on the tail that lights up when in use. Maybe that's my next item.
There you go. Ooh.
Following the Dreamliner pins.
That's not bad.
The E-joint.
The G-joint.
I'm putting out a G-joint.
G-joint.
It can also reportedly be filled with hash oil in addition to dry herb. The E and joint comes in 6 different fruit-based flavors, cost the equivalent of little over $11. Easily the weirdest aspect of the invention is that one version of it contains no THC, instead feeding the user with vapors containing only propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, and 100% biological flavoring. No tobacco, no nicotine, no nothing.
Well, then it's not a joint.
10,000 EN joints are being made in China each day. It can be purchased at bars and clubs all across Europe. Is China making everything now?
Well, they're making their knockoffs again. We invent all these cool stuff, and then they make the knockoff.
Yeah, well, go try to chase your patent once you invent something.
I heard Willie Nelson on a show recently, and he had one of those vaporizer, the marijuana vapor pen.
And?
Yeah, he was smoking it. He asked the host if he wanted a hit. Yeah, you want a hit?
Willie. Oh, where's this? I got to get this story. Where's that story about the dog who got his head caught in a hubcap? Have you seen this picture? I was talking about that guy who was stuck in the big stone vagina in Germany yesterday. And today, there's a dog, a picture of a dog whose head is caught in a hubcap.
Wow.
How do you put your head in a hubcap? I don't know, but he did.
Probably sniffing around for something. They didn't start the car, though, did they?
I don't think it was attached.
Oh, good.
I mean, I got to look at it again.
Okay.
Craig, do you remember that story? Did you bring it in? You remember it?
I do remember it.
Yeah. If you could find that. Because I think that, I don't know how he got his head in the hubcap. I don't think it was attached to the vehicle.
Well, that's good.
So the fire department came and put some oil and stuff around and then slipped his head back. See, the problem is, you get your head in and you think, well, if you got your head in, how come you can't get your head out?
Which is logical.
But think about it. Your ears going in.
Oh, they flap one way.
You got that smooth, but
right.
You're coming back and
you go
now
against,
you got to push the ears down. And
you're going against the grain.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
At least that guy that was stuck in the big stone vagina had put his legs in. So, but he was stuck. He got stuck, too.
Not a bad place to get stuck, though.
If you see the picture, I think it is, because
okay.
I'm sure he's being humiliated worldwide right now. But they had to come and rescue him, and I guess he could have, it looks like he could have just lifted his legs up and been free.
Oh, really?
Because the opening is wider, about 3 inches above where he was.
So maybe he just could have, but then maybe his legs were stuck too hard in there in the small
no,
part.
I guess 22 firemen had to rescue him.
Yeah, if it took 22 people, then it must have not have been as easy just to move his leg out.
Or these firemen heard what was happening and all wanted to just go see it.
Yeah.
Make fun of him.
And just let him sit there for a while. Look at this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to help you out. Just relax.
Yeah, just stay calm.
God.
My friend with the video camera has to get here.
He was in the structure for a funny picture, and he got a funny picture. Do you believe in Ouija boards?
I have a Ouija board at home.
And it's all hocus pocus.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're always pushing it yourself.
Right. 3 friends were hospitalized after becoming possessed by evil spirits they unknowingly conjured while playing with a Ouija board. A centuries-old game said to foster communication with the dead. Alexandra Huerta was attempting to talk to spirits with her brother Sergio and cousin Fernando when she began to growl and thrash her body as if experiencing muscle spasms. Huerta had entered a trance-like state while Sergio and Fernando experienced temporary blindness, deafness, and hallucinations just minutes into the game. Okay. Alexandra's parents called the local church, but a Catholic priest refused to perform an exorcism because the three did not attend church regularly. Right. No, I'm not going
to
do that.
I am not going to exorcise this demon because you don't come to church.
Video shows Huerta growling, giving menacing stares, and laughing evilly at emergency workers in the back of an ambulance. The question the three had asked the game before losing control of their bodies and what caused them to believe they had become possessed remains unknown. It's a little board game.
Yeah. And you always, like I said, you pretend like you're not pushing it, but you push the little thing. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
I got in trouble from my uncle.
For playing the
Ouija
board?
Priest, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he tore it up. He said, that's it. No, this is not a toy. Do not mess with this.
What is it if it's not a toy?
It's a game.
It's made by Milton Bradley. What do you think
it's
it is?
Toy.
It's a toy.
You buy it in the game section at Walmart.
Yeah, it's not in the...
I don't know, but...
It's
Father
not in the
Ed
heathen,
it,
in the heathen section.
I should not play with that.
Firefighters in Bakersfield had to rescue a pit bull from a tight spot. The puppy had its head stuck through the hub of an automobile wheel when its owner brought it to a fire station. Okay, I'm trying to... The picture's too tight to see if this wheel's attached.
So was the hubcap.
They used vegetable oil to... ease the dog's head out of the hole. Get it out of the hole! That's the reverse of when you go to the golf game.
It's out of the hole!
It's out.
It's out of the hole! Amazing. Cinderella.
The pooch, named Junior, has returned to live with its owner and seven siblings, in case you were wondering.
Well, they do have those little chubby heads. Those little stout heads.
Yeah, and they'll put their head anywhere. Yeah. I don't know how he did this.
What design was it?
It's a very nice hubcap.
No, but I mean...
What? What do you mean? What kind of
design? Like my hubcap, I don't see in my hubcap. I don't see how there's could even come close.
There's
to putting
a big opening.
In.
See, oh,
okay,
I'm showing Exhibit A.
Oh,
here.
Right where the hole
puppy
is.
Puppy head sized opening, right in
yeah,
the middle.
Yeah, it's a puppy head.
Well, that's where actually where the nuggets. What are those called? The bolts.
The lug nuts.
The lug nuts. Yeah, I thought it was some kind of a weird design.
Well,
on the side.
It is a fancy hubcap. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but that's right in the middle of the hole.
I'm crackling for you. I'm getting worried that there are tornado sirens going off in the western suburbs.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool? What the hell's your problem?
I know. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, that's where you live.
I know.
You dumb bone. You know what? All your malt is gone.
Oh, no.
Idiot. Jerk.
Rain is coming down in several areas, and it's supposed to be pretty heavy.
Oh, no. There goes my...
That's your penance.
My basement.
And your mulch and everything. If the house is still there when you get home.
72.
Those fancy planter boxes and all your
72.
Cute little shutters.
72 more bags.
And that means there is a sighting if the warning's going off, right?
If you start hearing sirens in a suburb, that's because someone has sighted one.
My telephone went off. My cell phone. The other day, when those heavy rains, it had some kind of an
alert.
Yeah, I didn't know that. My cell phone would have
it. Was
that.
Weird, but I got one of those, too, but the alert was for, like, flash flooding
right, that's
in
what mine was.
Wisconsin or something.
Yeah,
it had nothing to do with this area necessarily.
Yeah, mine was it said it was till 11:30, flash flood, yeah.
Well, good. Gives you time to get all your memorabilia up to higher ground.
I did put it. It's all on higher ground. The bad stuff I don't need is on lower ground.
The what?
The stuff I don't need.
Like, what would it be?
Well, you know, I mean, like, you know, old games.
Why don't you throw them away? You
I
don't
know.
Need them.
I really should.
Yeah, you're real. Okay.
Donated or something?
No, like, well, like my original
you
Monopoly.
You mean your Ouija board and all that?
My original Monopoly.
Give it to her uncle priest. And
I do have one.
I don't want it. It's evil. Father Ed told me I should not mess with those.
And you shouldn't. What else do you have besides the weather? I got a text here about the Lucas Museum. And, yeah, there is some kind of covenant that says you can't put any buildings up along the lakeshore.
Right.
And they violated that.
It's the Burnham plan,
isn't it? It's
that
Burnham,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just because the First McCormick Place technically has already breached that.
Yeah, they've always
they just wiped their ass with this thing, right?
Burn them,
yeah. That's tomorrow. Rob's gonna go, and when somebody brings that up, you know what I do with that? I wipe my ass with that. I don't care about that.
Yeah, but that was before there was a Star Wars museum.
Yeah, there are no rules in this city.
Daniel,
it's whatever they decide it's going to be on that day.
It depends on who you know. Different rules for different people.
You want to put up a scoreboard at Wrigley Field? No. You want to put up a big Trump sign? Yes.
I mean, Ricketts has to be going out of his mind right now.
I would.
With the swiftness of how this thing has all taken
place. I would.
And he can't, for what, the last three or four years he's playing games with them.
His only recourse is to leave and go to San Francisco.
and open up a lakefront ballpark.
I got a text about Willie Nelson. We mentioned you saw him on a talk show and he was smoking the E joint.
Yeah, yeah.
And it says, did you tell that Willie Nelson joke last week? And I said, well, yeah. What's the worst thing a girl can hear after making love to Willie Nelson? I'm not Willie Nelson. Good Willie Nelson joke.
That was James Caan who said that. It's a great one.
James Caan, yeah, told that joke. Gary, it's nice and sunny in Aurora right now.
Oh.
In case you're looking for some sun, just head west. I guess the worst is over in Aurora.
You've got to drive through some hell to get there, but yeah.
So it's just in a little pocket?
Several pockets of rain. Yeah, and I'm having a hard time getting my radar up for Mobile Traffic Central.
Who isn't? I've heard that before.
Maybe if you hit the right button.
That helps.
All right, and while you're doing that, I'll play a little Ramsey, see what he has to say.
Oh.
When thunder roars, go indoors. That's all you need to know.
And you're so helpful, Gary. Thank you. Thank you for being you.
When you hear a freight train, grab your mattress and get in the bathtub.
The stream will save your life.
It doesn't rhyme, but it makes a whole lot of sense.
The stream doesn't have the crackling and stuff. But
it still saves your life.
How is that?
By giving out this information.
Yeah, that's the way it does it.
By finding some cliches that rhyme.
Siren went off in Evergreen Park.
So now it's the south side.
It looks like it's primarily north and northwest that's getting hit.
It says Brookfield has tornadoes.
Oh.
But they still don't have an elephant. So it's not a zoo.
They have tornadoes now.
We've got tornadoes and cheetahs, but no elephant.
All right. And on that note, we'll keep you posted. Seems to be getting darker downtown.
But it's not raining, right?
No, but some dark clouds coming in.
Well, thank goodness you're indoors already.
And I think that's because of this deal that Rahm struck with Lucas. Those are the dark clouds for us taxpayers.
Darth Vader is the Death Star.
It is here. Got a request for this one off Broadway on the dot. Off Broadway by request, Bad Indication on the Super Streamer. G. Meyer until 7 o'clock, and then the whole thing repeats itself. And then you can get a podcast if you want and listen to it that way. It's your choice. Thank you for doing that, if you do. More than you could handle right now. It's the future.
Or so they say.
It is. And this is a great invention, and I'm scared that these other countries are doing the stuff that we should be doing. And Germany, as far as precision and inventing stuff, they seem to have the edge. And that's what worries me about our next round in the World Cup when we take them on Thursday. Where are they having a viewing party? I heard some of the fact that they're moving the viewing party that was in Grant Park because they had so many people. They're going somewhere bigger. Did I hear that? Where is it?
Where could they go? Bigger than Grant Park?
Open wide for some soccer!
The Continental Soccer Association is coming to Springfield. It's all here. Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties? You bet.
Hey, Dad, how come you never taken us to see a soccer game?
Don't know.
You'll see all your favorite soccer stars, like Arriaga, Arriaga 2, Barriaga, Aruglia, and Pizzozza.
The viewing party, by the way, I guess it's getting moved to Lakeshore Drive between Balboa Avenue and Columbus Avenue.
Isn't that
so? So it's still Grant Park. They were in a smaller section of Grant Park.
Right.
And that's Thursday, right? What time does it start Thursday? And it's in the evening, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Some of these are during the day. I shouldn't say it's in
there's a time difference, right?
I don't know. Because Brazil's kind of down south. Why would they be dramatically different?
Oh. Yeah.
Think about it. You know your geography?
I don't know the way time zones work, though. Is that
true? It looks like it's at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, see, morning. Some of them are during the day.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, that's probably 9 o'clock their time, though, right?
What's that?
They got to be 6-7 hours ahead of us.
No.
Right?
Brazil? It's straight down.
I know, but it's still far.
The time zones go by east to west. There are 24 time zones, and they change as you go east-west, not north-south.
Oh.
So we're lined up pretty much with Brazil. How about we're not but a couple hours, an hour or two, if that.
Oh. What are you saying? What did you say? They go east-west or they go north-south?
I said east-west.
But that's in South America, so it should go south if it's the same.
I'll tell you what.
Well, right?
Why don't you stay
in
bed?
Isn't Texas? Texas is central time, and that's below us.
Yeah.
So South America is below that.
Great. So that's my point.
All right. Wow. I see what you
and
mean.
You call yourself a towel boy.
So in other words.
And you handed towels to people that worked at Channel 9.
To Bob Jordan and Pat Hurley.
You know, if you weren't listening earlier, you don't want to know what he did to become a writer on a comedy show.
Pat Hurley video hour.
When his failed attempt at Bob Jordan didn't work, he went for the goods and got a writing credit.
Right.
On some short-lived comedy show out of Channel 9.
I still have a copy of the check.
Okay. I got to see the stuff you wrote.
I think I have it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
It's in a bin in your basement.
It probably is
in one of my bins.
Berlin, plan to catch and don't feel like hunting for parking? I'm sorry, plane to catch? Plan to catch a plane?
Hall of Fame.
Watch me save myself.
Hall of Fame right here.
Travelers at Dusseldorf Airport can soon leave the job to a robot valet. The robot, nicknamed Ray, starts work on Tuesday and can be booked by using a smartphone app. All travelers need to do is leave their car in a designated area and confirm it's empty and ready to go. Then Ray, or one of its cybernetic colleagues, will take the car to one of 249 parking spaces reserved for robots. The forklift-like machine can carry any standard car, weighing up to 3.3 tons, and is fully insured. How about that?
That's fantastic.
It really is.
That is fantastic. Because, I mean, nothing against the valet parkers out there, but a lot of these guys change my seat. They change my radio station. They'll put on my heat.
They'll take your Pez.
They'll take stuff, and you're in the car for 7 seconds. Why do you have to change everything?
The service costs $39 a day. That's brilliant.
Nice. Now that's technology.
I mean, come on.
That's technology that actually serves a purpose, not just because we can. That is actually providing a service.
And for example, name something that serves no purpose that somebody invented.
No purpose?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of these things, like to me, ultimately, I think Twitter, only because you can. Why do you really need that?
Didn't Facebook or Twitter save someone's life recently? We did a story where it saved someone's life.
Facebook.
If you want to get picky.
A tree fell on a guy on his porch, and their electricity went out, and the cell phone towers were knocked out. Daughter goes on Facebook.
All right, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, all right. Come up with another one.
I'll give you one.
How about those pads that supposedly leach the toxins out of the bottom of your feet? Somebody told me those aren't
pads.
Any good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The woman was on hold, but she got cut off, and she was going to tell us that Brazil
it's
is what?
2 hour time.
2 hours ahead of us, right?
So Brazil is that far away, and they're only 2 hours ahead.
Okay, explain to this man
how
time zones work.
I didn't know they went down.
East to west.
Well, South America actually is that much farther east. If
okay,
you look at
a
globe.
He's of the, I don't know what thinking. that the time zone in Brazil should be 6 hours ahead.
I thought it was like 6 hours ahead because like everything far away is 6 hours ahead.
Down below us.
Like
the
London.
Time zones work.
London, Italy, it's all 6 hours.
Longitude.
Longitude.
So they go down then.
Oh, God.
Is that what you're saying?
Please don't drive home. Call somebody.
So then South America then would be a little past the Eastern time zone.
Right now it's 8:40 in Brazil.
Wow.
Time to give a shout-out to a Lucky Day Lotto winner from the Illinois Lottery. Congrats to Raymond I. from Chicago. Won $133,333 playing the Illinois Lottery's Lucky Day Lotto game. He purchased his ticket from Citgo at 4901 South Central Avenue in Stickney. Raymond was at Citgo buying a newspaper when he decided to buy a lottery game, too. Put down $2 on a quick pick Lucky Day Lotto ticket. The next day, when he realized he'd won, he told his wife she didn't believe he won until she saw a copy of the claim form. Raymond plans to use his newly acquired cash to buy a car and remodel his home. Congrats to Raymond. Remember, when you play the Illinois Lottery, 30 cents of every dollar you spend will benefit our state. Over the years, the lottery has contributed over $18 billion to the State Common School Fund to assist K-12 public schools, as well as the Capital Projects Fund to build roads and bridges. Play responsibly. You must be 18 or older to play. Don't scratch and drive. Here is Leslie.
I had a heart attack.
Well, you're sitting there with papers. I hate to have you.
We're done for the day here for me.
I hate to have you get all the papers and not have to read them.
There
just signed off on her computer.
All right. Then she's in here as a cooling center. I don't know what she's doing.
There are still supposedly some storm sirens going off across the Hinsdale Western Springs Brookfield area, just so you know.
Okay,
that's all she's got.
They're bringing all the animals indoors at Brookfield?
Yes.
They probably went in right long before the alarm went off
because they have a sense.
Yeah.
When thunder roars, they go indoors. When the lion roars, they just call it a Tuesday.
They call it, right, tourist attraction. And the orangutans are bringing the gym shoes in, all the other...
The Samsonite luggage.
The luggage, the bicycle rim, and all the other crap they play with.
The big tire.
Yes. Bring all that in, you pink bottom son of a... And there, you squeeze something out. You want something else? You want more time?
I really don't have that much more for you.
It's all right. I've got...
No breaking news. I mean, everybody's still talking about George Lucas. They'll be talking about it all.
Yeah, I want a full accounting
tomorrow.
Of who's paying for this. That's going to be included, I hope, in the press conference tomorrow.
So you really
I'm sure
think that
it'll
there's
all be spelled
you think
out.
That there's some little side deal or something, or he's
going
to get tax
where do you think we live? I mean, come on.
This has to
are
be,
they okay? That plot isn't... of land. Does he pay for that?
That's public land, beside, isn't it? You think in terms of that Burnham plan,
I guarantee you the spiel is going to be the amount of tourism money that this brings in will more than offset whatever that plot of land is worth. They've got it all ready to go.
Well, if that's a parking lot, isn't that park district land?
Yeah.
So it's got to be public land.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay for it.
Yeah,
we'll
put it on our tab.
Throw that in.
Meanwhile, nobody's talking about your idea of using the Freedom Museum's former location, which is perfect. It was made to be a museum.
Right on Michigan Avenue. You go to Starbucks or Walgreens. You're walking by. There's Jar Jar waving.
I want to say a new Walgreens store is opening across the street.
You
want to
say it because it's true. In the
Wrigley
building.
Yeah.
This is going to be one of those super Walgreens.
Multi-tiered?
Yeah, and it's all tricked up. It's not the Walgreens your grandfather used to go and get a soda at.
Do they have room in that building? Aren't there stores?
The Wrigley building?
No. I mean, like, it's going to be on the bottom floor, though, right? Isn't it
the
ground floor?
It starts there. I think it goes up at least one other floor.
Two or three stories.
I didn't think they had... I thought they had offices already up there.
They've been redoing the whole Wrigley building for a couple of years. All that stuff is gone. I think they're going more retail in the Wrigley building.
That's cool.
Yeah,
Anything else, Leslie?
Why is that cool?
Because it's going to be neat.
It's going to be...
Don't you think it's going to look cool?
Yeah. I'm sure the condom section that you hang out in is going to be all...
No, but that Walgreens that's down
spiffy.
On that's A Street, that's kind of a neat
That
looking...
was one of those, yeah.
Yeah.
First kind of new...
That's what I mean.
Space-age Walgreens.
Because this one down here is kind of old looking. that sign.
No, that one's going to close, and they're going to move next door.
A lot of fluorescent lights in there.
Yeah, it's time. It really is.
It is.
Your Dr. Scholl's Center is going to be just magnificent.
Yeah, then I can get sushi, right? Isn't that
the
other one have
Dr.
sushi?
The actual Dr. Scholl's is going to
be
there.
Yeah, the doctor will be there. Yeah, you can get sushi.
Yeah,
and
you can get sushi on State Street and stuff.
Expensive Gavassier in a velvet bag.
And one of those rain caps for 49 cents, too.
Right, and a big bag of M&M's peanuts. That's still part of it. Here's Jim Ramsey earlier today, had a script for him, and he
Growing up in a small town in South Carolina, I would often wonder what life was like in a big city. Were the buildings as tall as they say? Is the traffic as bad as I've heard? Do people murder each other in broad daylight? I wondered and I dreamed about living in a city like Chicago. As a kid, anytime Chicago was mentioned, someone would always chime in with, "Hey, that's where Al Capone lived, and it's all gangsters." While that sounded scary, I was drawn to the danger in some strange way. It seemed better than what I did all day, like shooting squirrels and reaching down into a hole in the kitchen floor that my grandfather had shot out to try and retrieve a nickel he had thrown into the hole. When my squirrel and rabbit-killing days ran their course, I packed up and headed west to the middle of the U.S. of A. My first impression of Chicago is forever burned into my brain pan. The tallest structure in my hometown was the grain elevator. So when I first laid eyes on the John Hancock building, I thought I was in Oz. Prior to that, the tallest black thing I had seen was when the Harlem Globetrotters came through town and played at the local high school. Another great thing about Chicago is you don't have to learn a lot of different names in politics because the same people stay in office 40 years or more. Now that's stability. Cap off a visit to Chicago by sitting down to a full slab of ribs at Carson's or Twin Anchors. And when your fingers and mouth are all slathered with gree-gree, think about how much better this is than shooting squirrels in the backyard.
Jim had an issue with me when I first gave him the script. He said, "I didn't shoot squirrels and rabbits. I shot snakes."
He had a lot of problems with the...
The Harlem Globetrotters never came through my little town. Jimmy, I just needed a stepping off point. That's all. Everything's not true to form.
Creative license.
Yeah. You just try to sell Chicago.
And you could see that when he read those, he didn't read them with gusto because he didn't believe it. You know,
that's too bad because I was going to have him as the spokesperson of Chicago. Have you seen this story about Alex Torres of the Padres? He's wearing this hat now. It's a big hat because it has protection in the hat.
No.
He's the first pitcher to wear a protective cap
I saw that
Major
on the
League
news.
Baseball.
Is that why he's wearing it?
Yeah.
Why? What did happen to him?
He's used this because of the fear of getting hit with a ball.
Yeah, it's big.
It looks like those Russian soldier caps that look like you have popcorn going off in them.
It looks like Pharrell Williams.
Yeah, exactly. It's a half inch thicker up front and an inch thicker on the sides than standard caps.
Yeah, the brim, the bill is really big too. It's like stands out and
it's plastic injection molded polymers combined with a foam substrate are said to offer protection against a 90-mile-an-hour hit to the front of the head.
Oh, I don't blame pitchers. I mean, you have no time to react.
If it can save your life, why wouldn't you? I'm not worried about how it looks if it works. Torres was with Tampa Bay last season when Rays pitcher Alex Cobb suffered a concussion when he was struck on his right ear by a line drive.
It's amazing that pitchers don't get hit regularly, considering how close they are.
It looks like
60 feet, 6 inches. That's it.
That Seinfeld bit, the sombrero that was
The urban sombrero.
Urban sombrero. It's also an umbrella. It's that big.
But, man, they have no time to react.
All right, well, he's got a little protection here now.
Because, you know, in sports, it's like, you know, like you've always said in hockey, why don't the guys wear masks or, you know, the regular players, not the goalies? Why don't they have a screen in front of their heads or something? It's all this macho thing. I don't blame this guy. He's probably going to get some heat for not being, you know, macho, but hey.
I don't know. It's just a little bigger than a regular cap.
It doesn't look like he's deformed or anything.
No. Wow. The deformed cap?
No, I'm just saying it doesn't look like he's wearing some kind of crazy contraption on his head. It's a baseball hat.
And it's been approved. All right. Well, hey, I don't. Whatever you can do to not get concussed. Thank you for listening. Have a great evening. Back tomorrow at 3 o'clock and the Scott Stantis cartoon caption contest in motion. Go to the Facebook page, The Gary Meyer Show, to find the cartoon. Put your caption there, top three. Get a Gary Meyer muff. And then runners-up will get prizes, too. And the show repeats itself starting at 7 o'clock, and then there's a podcast of it, too. Have a great evening on WGN.FM. Some brothers to end.